Oh, yeah. All right, we're going to start our board meeting tonight. It is wonderful to have you all here today. We've often thought that we're going to wait and do recognitions at the very end of board meetings so that we have a full audience until the end, but we'll implement that next year, right? Yeah, that'd be nice. So we're grateful that you're here to support us, and we have some amazing accomplishments to celebrate tonight in our districts and some great things to talk about. I'm Christy Cooley, Vice President of the Board. I will be filling in for President Hobbs until he gets here, conducting the meeting, and he should be here shortly. We are going to open this meeting. It's at 6:01, and we are going to have the Pledge of Allegiance by Dave Long, Principal at Bridger.
Ready to begin?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Long. All right, do we have any public comment tonight? All right, we have public comment tonight, and we would like you to come up and state your name, and if you have any students or children that attend the schools, if not, just state your name and your address. And we are going to start with Sarah Kersley Weeks.
Hello, my name is Sarah Kersley Weeks.
I'm sorry, I got your name wrong.
Oh, I have a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old, and I live up in the Wilson boundaries. I am very excited about a dual language immersion program, and I've written to each of you. I have been in contact with Marshall Garrett, and I am just so excited because he's already formed a committee to study the dual language immersion program and find out if it would be a good fit for the Logan City School District. I am hoping that the committee met today, and we made some good success. I am hoping that maybe one of you or two of you would join us at some point and maybe visit a school in Utah that is part of the new dual language network. I just wanted to thank Marshall Garrett publicly for forming the committee because I'm very excited about the possibility. If you have not yet seen the YouTube video that was put out by the Utah State Department of Education, I encourage you to do that, and thank you.
Very good. Thank you so much. We're excited to explore this as well, and we are appreciative of our committee members and excited to hear what the future holds for that. All right. Our next public comment is Joshua Toms.
Yeah.
Oh, I got yours right.
Yes.
And can you please state your address, please?
Yeah, it's 1407 East 1980 North, North Logan. My name is Joshua Toms, and I'm here tonight on behalf of my wife, Becky, and more importantly, on behalf of my 3.5-year-old son, Lucas. We've lived in Cache Valley now for about a year and love everything the various communities have to offer. Since moving to Utah, we've discovered that the state leads the nation in the number of dual language immersion programs being offered. For the upcoming 2012-2013 school year, Utah will have 25 Chinese, 10 French, 40 Spanish, and 3 Portuguese dual language immersion programs across the state, and that's 78 in all. However, none of those will be in Cache Valley. Nearby, Brigham City has a Spanish dual language immersion program in place and will start a Chinese program this coming academic year. We've therefore asked ourselves, why aren't there any dual language immersion programs in either Logan or Cache County school districts? I'm here tonight to urge Superintendent Garrett, and it sounds like, again, he's got the ball already rolling, but him and also the rest of the Logan City School Board to gather the information they need in order to determine when a dual language immersion program can start somewhere in Cache Valley. There are many linguistic, cognitive, and social benefits to knowing a second language. In addition to students becoming smarter than their monolingual peers, a dual language immersion program will bring prestige to the school and consequently to the district in which it has started. It will also attract students from all over Cache Valley, as many parents, including myself, will gladly drive our children wherever the school is located in the valley, however long it takes, in order to take advantage of this excellent opportunity for our son. If anyone, again, would like more information, either in the crowd or on the school board, as Sarah mentioned, the 11-minute YouTube video were produced by the Utah State of, State Office of Education is an excellent introduction to this to these programs. And thank you.
Very nice. Thank you very much.
Just in comment of that, we did have a meeting, an initial meeting this afternoon. It is a beginning process, and one of the things that we spent some time on is we want to make this inclusive. The process of making sure that this is successful has to be a strong partnership between administration, the community, and our teachers. And we want to do everything we can to have information out and understanding about what this program is and what it can do for our students as well as for our staff. And we will be working right now. We have two principals who are taking the lead in this, which is one is David Long from Bridger, and the other is Eric Markworth from Hillcrest, is kind of the lead to help and assist in this committee. But we are going to be opening that up to membership from each of the schools. We would love to have a parent from every school as well as a staff member, a teacher from every school, so that we can start doing the exploration process. And we're excited about the opportunity of learning about this and seeing whether or not it is something that we can implement within the Logan City School District. So that you will be, as a board, we're looking at probably coming for a kind of a process check in September in a work session to kind of say what we've done up to that point. And then logistically, we're looking at sometime either the end of fall or into early winter before coming to you with recommendations. So we've got a lot to do. We have more questions than we had answers, but it's an exciting process with a lot of dedicated staff. We have staff from four different buildings there tonight, as well as from three elementary schools for parents. So we are going to expand, and we would love to have one or two of you be involved in that committee process so you can be a liaison back to the other board members.
Very good. Thank you, Marshall. We appreciate once again our public comment tonight. We do have a slight change in the agenda for this evening due to some scheduling conflicts with the elementary schools. So we are going to recognize Ellis Elementary for achieving Utah Title I High Performing School Award and Bridger Elementary for achieving that Utah Title I Closing the Achievement Gap Award 2010-2011 and Utah Title I High Performing School Award for 2011-2012. That was a mouthful. Marshall?
All right. We have a challenge in terms of Ellis. They're having a special program for one of their teachers who's retiring tonight. But Katie, can I call you to come up and be the representative from Ellis Elementary School to receive this award? Be careful what one asks for. So that the audience would know, we have some outstanding elementary schools. All six of our elementary schools currently have Title I status, which means that their demographics are such that there is an at-riskness to all of our schools. Four of those are full title schools, and two are on targeted assist. Ellis Elementary School consistently, year in and year out, has beaten the odds. If you would look at the scores and what they are performing in grades 3, 4, and 5, our end of levels, plus all of the other tests that we do and assessments that we do, where our kids start and where they finish, it is just amazing. This award that they were recognized by the State Office of Education this year is the third time since I've been here, I believe, in the district where they have had this recognition. This is not something that every school gets, but it's because of their focused attention to their students and their willingness to literally go not only the extra mile but the extra 10 to be able to ensure that their children at Ellis Elementary School get everything possible. We'd like to give this to Katie, who is a teacher at Ellis, who's actually here for something else. We'll be in with it just a minute. But if you could take this back to your faculty and staff, and please thank them for all the amazing things that they do and how thankful we are for all that they do for our students, especially the students' families.
Congratulations.
Way to go, Katie. Thank you. Dave, come on up for a second. Yes, and anybody from Bridger, come on up. It was my opportunity to be part of the group that went to the national Title I conference this past January. And come on up. We have a bridger person. Come on, RJ, you're up here too. The state of Utah recognizes one school with all the elementary schools, and we've got to realize that there are over 500 elementary schools in the state of Utah. They received the High Performing School Award for the state of Utah and were recognized at that convention as one of the 43 states that were represented there. And we were able to be in that hall and have that recognition from their peers from around the United States. Again, just as I stated with what they do, the miracles that they have at Ellis, the miracles that happen at Bridger Elementary School, it's probably one of our most challenged school in terms of its mobility. And there literally are classes where students at the end of the year, there may be 3 to 4 out of 25 that are still there who were there at the beginning of the year. Now think about that type of mobility and how you're, as a teacher, they are having to really adapt every single day as new students come in, because they didn't end up with just 3 in their classroom at the end. They were still had that 25 to 30 or more. This school has done some outstanding things, again, in cooperation with the other 5 elementaries, but as a school, the recognition from the state, we wanted to make sure that we honored you for that, as well as the honoring of last year, which was the Closing the Achievement Gap award that you got there. And congratulations again for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're doing for the students of Bridger and for Logan City School District.
I have a lot of great teachers, and that's what makes this happen. And they know how to get these kids involved and get things happening in their lives and in their homes. So I'm really proud of this staff and all that they've done to make this happen in our community.
Congratulations.
Good job.
Thanks for your work.
Not for another year or so.
Thank you so much, Ellis and Bridger. What a great opportunity that is for you guys, and you've done a fantastic job. All right, now we're going to go back to number 1, which is recognize future business leaders of America, FBLA students, and we'll turn the time over to Marshall for that as well.
Jolene, are you going to do those presentations?
Robin.
Okay.
And if I may, just for a minute, a couple things. I want to mention the fact that we have several new clubs now at Logan High School that are in their infancy. This year, Logan Brown and Larry Williams started a DECA club, and their students did really well with DECA. We also had Roger Rigby and Scott Harris that had students competing in Skills USA, and Brad Nelson, who does have students tonight that are represented, and also Brad Nelson's students did well enough that they will be traveling to Nationals in Orlando this year, but it is a first-year club as well, and that is with HOSA. In addition to that, we also are going to have, I want to mention that we have Jennifer Hyde and Lacey Fonsbeck Pope. Which one does she go by? Fonsbeck, that are advisors of the FCCLA. And also we have Jolene Herzog and Kathy Zillis, who advise FBLA. And I mention that because all of our clubs and all of the students and advisors have worked really hard this year. I think it's notable with brand new clubs that have come on board how well they've done. And I just want to acknowledge each of those advisors and how much time they've put forward for their students. So with that being said, we are going to now recognize those students that placed at the state level competition. And we will start, first of all, with our FBLA, who is advised by both Jolene Herzog and Kathy Zillis.
We actually did really well this year at state, and we're really excited. But the ones that not everyone could make it, it's the end of school year, so people have other things on their agenda. But Allie Karchner, right here, took first in word processing at the state. And Dylan Wooten, who isn't able to be here, he took first place in public speaking in FBLA. Tommy Fang and Taylor James, Taylor's right here, took second place in entrepreneurship, and they're actually going to nationals in first place. Kylie Elwood placed in computer applications. She got third place. Megan Elwood, who is Kylie's sister, she got fifth in intro to technology concepts, and also 10th in intro to business communication and 10th in FBLA principles and procedures. So we're expecting a lot from her the next 2 years. And Taylor James also got third in economics. And Tommy Fang also got seventh in business calculations. And Davis Karchner, who's not here, I offered him candy and everything. He got 10th place in technology concepts. And those are young kids. And so they did really, really well this year. And we're going to go to San Antonio with Allie, who took first. She's going to go in word processing. And Kylie's going to go in the first place in computer application. And Tommy and Taylor are going to do first place in entrepreneurship. And we're just really proud of our kids.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Exciting. Great things happening at the schools. That's cool. Do you need a chaperone?
I love San Antonio. That's a nice place to go. I think a board member should go
to San Antonio.
Not a board member. Chaperone. Do they? When is it? You don't know?
Oh, yeah, I know.
Oh, there's something wrong about that. She's not going to tell me when it is. I have my ways of finding out.
We'll report in the fall.
Oh, yeah. Thanks a lot. All right. The Logan City Board of Education honors Logan High School Future Business Leaders of America, and these are all the same certificate. We present the Certificate of Achievement to Allie Karchner, Dylan Wooten, Taylor James, Tommy Fang, Kylie Elwood, Megan Elwood, and Davis Karchner. For their competition in the FBLA state competition, and Mrs. Herzog went over what they had received. So congratulations. We are so proud of you.
Congratulations.
And you got to step here. And we are so grateful for their leaders, Mrs. Herzog and Mrs. Zillis, for all of their work in all you do to promote success in all of our
schools.
So thank you so much. We also have certificates for you, but we'll get them to you later. Yes, you're going to want one of those to hang on your wall. Oh, yes. Do you guys have any family here? Our students or our...
No.
Oh, thank you.
Well, tell your families how much we love them and support you for all that you do.
Good job again.
Great.
Okay, your next recognition, I want to give accolades to Brad, who Mr. Nielsen, who started a conversation with me a couple years ago, I think it was, Brad, that you persevered in saying, I really want to have an anatomy class, have concurrent. It was also a new conversation for the two of us to bring Brad on as a CTE teacher, and so with CTE teachers, they'll all tell you that it's a steep learning curve of the things that you have to do that are above and beyond what the normal classroom teacher's asked to do as far as grading and compliance and tests that happen at the end. And we had a conversation about a year ago, why aren't you doing student clubs? Brad said, what's that? What do I have to do? And he kind of got dropped in hard this year on simultaneously with the year that he was starting a concurrent offering that took quite a bit of his time. So I really want to give huge accolades to Brad for advising in such a way that he also is going to be taking students to a national competition. Now, those students that are here, I have to tell you that he's very humble, and he's also said it has nothing to do with him, that you took charge, you knew what to do, and that you ran the show. But I still have to think that your teacher had some of that inspiration that was given to you. So, Brad, come up and introduce your students.
That sounded nice, Robin. Thanks.
And I like to hear my name associated with these young people on their way to Florida, the Nationals.
Yeah.
But that's all I had to do with it. Just put my name there. I'll be honest with you. When it started coming down, I saw the work. I was telling them no, but this group and then the other side that's not here tonight put a little pressure on me. I said, okay, if you people want to do this, it is a student leadership club. So I said, I'll put my name on it and you guys drive the ship. And these are truly leaders. There were 10 of us that went and competed at the state level. I had no clue. I'd never been there before. You can ask them. I was clueless, right? But we went there and we competed. I happened to know some people, so I was getting tips from everybody all along the way. However, these individuals prepared themselves and they did the work, and they did a phenomenal job. We have one state champion, Paisley, medical spelling, or spell down, what do they say?
Wow.
Those big words, you know? She stood right up there and competed against everybody in the state, and I kept waiting for her, and she just kept going, kept going, kept going. Pretty soon there was just the two of them, and she won. Not that we were surprised or anything, but we were happy for her.
That's hard.
And then we had the other three that qualified, or four, that qualified to go compete also at Nationals. So out of the 10 of us that went, five of them are headed to Florida. So why don't you tell them what it is you're competing to do, but go ahead. And the other two that aren't here, David Shamaro was not in class today, so I'm not sure what his problem was. But Joe, our president, was there. And I told him he was going to give the speech. It's a leadership opportunity. It's him. So he didn't show up. So much for these leaders that I was just bragging about. Paisley's our next year's president. She's here, so I have confidence in next year's team. Okay. Tell them who you are and what you're doing.
My name is Josue Arredondo, and people just call me Debs. But me and Joe qualified in the CERT category. We took fourth, but we're taking third place and going to Nationals. And I believe at the state, we took a test first, and they combined the two, you went in teams, and they combined the 10 highest team scores, and then they went on to the second round. And the second round was a skills test, and they had a scenario where they had a situation and we had to react to it in a certain way, in a certain time limit, and I guess we were able to to do that, and so we're going to
follow. What kind of a scenario was it?
Just like a crisis scenario, and like ours was like there was an earthquake in Salt Lake City and there was two victims, like one was unconscious and one was bleeding profusely on his leg, and we had to explain and show how we would react to it and solve and just help out.
Okay. That's great.
And I have to tell you, they did a phenomenal job. Not only did they do the test and score really well in that beginning, well, I wasn't really well prepared to help them. We're in there getting ready to go, and here come these people all dressed up in these little hard hats and flashlights and reflective vests. Now I'm looking at our group, and they're digging in my bag, finding rubber gloves. What else do you have in here? And they did really well in their performance. So it wasn't all the flash in the show, but their skills were where they needed to be. So phenomenal group.
Well, yeah, he already said I did medical spelling, so it was basically like a spelling bee. They just, like, said the word, and then you could ask for the definition, and then you had to spell it. And
just that easy.
Yeah. Especially medical terms.
What was the winning word?
I don't remember.
She actually went in after the written exam. I think she came in number 4.
Yeah.
And it came down between her and the number 1 kid. So
I think he was 2.
Was he number 2?
Yeah.
Or the number 4 kid?
So it was me and the
they
person
went through
who
a whole bunch
first
of words.
The test.
In fact, there was one round they all missed, thank goodness.
Yeah. I don't remember what the They were long.
Come on.
How'd you go,
sir?
With the
Yeah, and I also did the Hosa Bowl, which is like, they just like, we had a team and they asked questions about all sorts of different medical things, but we didn't go on very far in that. And then
they could have, and I just kept teaching them, they got to hit the button faster.
That's like a new class.
Yeah.
Reflexes.
So, yeah.
And you were doing medical math, did you, or?
No, that I was supposed to also compete in medical math, but then I had to miss it to go because I made it to the second round of the spelling, which was a good choice to miss because kind of did well.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm Jeanette Velez, and I competed also with Paisley in the Hosa Bowl, and we made it to the second round, so we didn't do that bad, but. Then I also was in the medical terminology, and then the event that I'm going is the emergency preparedness, which my partner is going to be David, so yeah.
They can actually compete in multiple, but they can only go to nationals in one, so if they placed in more than one, they had to choose.
And that's why they were fourth, but now they're third or something.
Right, so you choose your slot, and so if somebody else chooses you, you move up. So, phenomenal group.
That is so amazing. I didn't even know we offered that, so I'm grateful to know that. It's very good that we have such amazing school or amazing things going on. Well, of course we have amazing things going on, but thank you so much for representing us. And the Board of Education wishes to honor these amazing students for their participation in the Health Occupation Students of America. Paisley Tarbottom for medical spelling state champion. I can barely spell my name at times, so congratulations, that's so exciting. And Jeanette, did you say Jeanette? Jeanette Velez? I can barely put a band-aid on myself at times. And Jose, or Bebe as I call him, is my neighbor across the street. It's nice to know that he's CERT trained, and we flood a lot in my neighborhood, so now I know who's going to be in charge of flooding prevention in my neighborhood. And Joe Coppin, also for CERT, and David Shamaro for public health emergency preparedness. So congratulations. You guys are awesome.
Congratulations.
Way to go.
Good luck.
Way to go.
Way to go, buddy.
Congratulations.
Just one more person that I would like to thank, besides once again mentioning the incredible advisors and the work that they've done this year. We also have or had a video presentation that Scott Harris had prepared to summarize CTE and the programs this year, but the sound system's not working, so we will get that to you. I also have been bugging him that we want a copy of the Dancing with the Stars, which his students have been working on producing, and he wrote me back today and said that they'll be getting that to us shortly. So thank you, Scott, and sorry for the technical difficulties, but that's probably your life, so thank you.
Very nice. Thank you so much, and I apologize, Brad, for not acknowledging you. Did she leave already?
No, he's right here.
Brad, yes, thank you. We are blessed to have you. Even if you had to do it on the fly, you did a great job. So thank you very much. You're awesome. And we'll get you a certificate, too, to hang on your wall, because you'll want one of those. All right, we are going to now go to our, we're going to recognize our district classified and district classified licensed and administrator of the year, superintendent.
Throughout the year, starting in the fall, we recognize each school's licensed employees of the year as well as classified and then a volunteer of the year. That process goes on until we have covered all of our eight schools and our ninth is Riverside Elementary School, as well as in the district office. So there are 10 recognitions throughout that time. So for the classified employee of the year, as well as the licensed licensed Employee of the Year. We have already done a lot for them at the initial, but we still want to make sure we have full recognition as we go through this process. You'll find it's a little bit different on those than it will be at the Administrative Year, because that one, this is the first time that has been recognized, and there has not been an opportunity of going through all of the material in terms of their nomination. So we just want to make sure that as we're going through that, we don't want to slide in any way our classified and our licensed employees of the year. It just may not have the depth that we do for our Administrator of the Year. So the first one we would like to recognize tonight is Mrs. Ann Nyman as our Classified Employee of the Year. We had the opportunity with all three of these wonderful individuals to go to their work and surprise them. Shanna Longhurst, who's the director of our foundation, had balloons and plants and a big, huge check. And I was not able to make it for two of them, but I was for Ann's. And we were up at Hillcrest Elementary School. Ann is over three elementary school kitchens. Now remember that all three of these do both breakfast and lunch for half of our elementary schools in the district. That's a lot of work. And she starts very, very early in the morning and doesn't get out of there until very late in the afternoon. But as we came in, her first was going, "Why? What? What's?" And then all of a sudden, the jaw dropped. Eyes went watery as we called her out. And in front of all of the students at Hillcrest, we were able to announce to them that she was not only their favorite, but the favorite of the district. And she was the employee of the year. And they were so excited for her. And we were able to have that presentation. But Ann has been a valued employee with us for how many years? 32 years. I know. She's only 32. But we'll give her that. She was crawling when she came. Now, if Lynn was here, and Lynn is absolutely sad that he is not here. Lynn went to school with Ann. And for a price, does have stories that she would be willing to share. However, I've also gone to Ann, and so she has stories on Lynn as well. So we may be able to make some things. But he wanted you to know of his love for you and graciousness, gratitude of being his friend.
Okay.
Because he has truly seen you as a friend for all of these years, and congratulations. We appreciate all that you do for our district. Our kids are better off because of you.
Thank you.
Would you have any relatives and family you'd like to
introduce? My daughter, grandfather,
my husband. Would you like to say anything?
No. It's
the same thing up there. I don't understand it. We would like to present you first with the real chef for $500 from the foundation.
Thank you.
For you to use, then that is for you to use on yourself, as well as a plaque. Signifying that you are the Classified Employee of the Year for the 2011-2012 year, and I'd like to turn some time over to Christy to present you also one last time.
Logan City School District, Classified Employee of the Year, Ann Nyman. I think this is so cute. Isn't that cute? Way to go. It's a cute little memento for a cute girl.
Okay.
Thank you so much. You are awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Congratulations.
So well deserved,
man.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Appreciate you. Thank you.
For our Teacher of the Year, we have right now about 30 very, very sad staff members at Ellis Elementary School because they're not able to be here. They have one of their teachers retiring. Ellis has a teacher retiring, Janet Simmons, and they had scheduled their retirement presentation to her at the same time, and we didn't know this until it was announced last week. So anyway, we are to make all the noise. Sue Sorensen, and you know we never go against Sue. We are to hoot and holler and make sure that everyone is hearing that as we announce that Katie Cox from Ellis Elementary School is the Teacher of the Year for the last
Marshall, you have to cry for Sue, too.
Oh, I have to. It has been such an honor to be able to, over the last So you've been here since I've been here, so 2006. Going into her classroom at Ellis is a choice experience. It is amazing. Those kids just hopping all over, and they love their technology, and have high expectations of their teacher in terms of that technology. But that she truly, all of our teachers make a difference. Katie has done that at Ellis with a very, very challenging group, but they love her, but they also know that she's there for them in every single way. Katie is a master teacher and an outstanding role model for many, many kids. We are so blessed to be able to have her within this district, and I know Ellis wants you to stay there forever and ever. But we have really appreciated her, and what, again, as you saw, she is one of the integral parts as to why Ellis Elementary School has been able to succeed for as much as it has over this last decade. Do you have anything you would like to say? Now, I know she says lots of words, right? Would you like to introduce your family?
Yes. They are worth speaking for. I have my mother and father-in-law, Greg and Darla Cox, and my mother and father, Pete and Patty Sturd from Salt Lake. And my husband, who you all know, and my brother-in-law, who's also from Ellis, and my brother, Paul, and my son, Will,
yes.
Who's a future Ellis Eagle.
I think that was already decided. One of the unique opportunities for the Teacher of the Year, the Licensed Employee of the Year, is they now get to compete at the state level for the State Teacher of the Year. So we are not only presenting her with a check for $500. RJ, it's made after her.
But
now this can be considered a blessing or a curse. We're also going to give you the application that you'll need to fill out. But again, as a plaque to say this is for the Logan City School District 2011-2012 Teacher of the Year. This honor is bestowed upon Katie Cox. Congratulations.
Of the board, I love this, what it says. The school and the children have truly been enriched by your gift for teaching and your choice to share it. So how wonderful. We are so grateful on behalf of the board and congratulate you on this great honor.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
The process for selection of the principal or the administrator of the year is one that is a little different than the others, as I explained before. This is an opportunity now for anyone within the district, regardless of classification of position, to be able to write a nomination. The committee, which is made up of teachers, classified employees, as well as administrators, then reads all of those and makes a determination as to who will be receiving this honor. We're a small district, so we don't have a lot of administrators, but this year one stood out among his peers. If I can have Mr. Darrell Guyman please come up. And he's the Logan City School District administrator. You did not just see that, but he just gave me his look. His look is he does not like adulation at all. He does not like compliments at all. But you're going to have to bear with me on this one. I am your supervisor. So I would like to just read some snippets of three different letters of recommendation for his nomination as Administrator of the Year. This comes from one of your teachers. Mr. Dale Guyman has proven himself to be a superb administrator. Woodruff Elementary in Logan, Utah has experienced tremendous growth in student achievement over the past few years. This progress is in no small part due to his leadership. The current demands placed on schools by No Child Left Behind and other mandates have necessitated significant changes in day-to-day instruction in schools. Mr. Guyman has managed those changes with a vision constructed from his tireless reading and research. He has set a pace that has been aggressive but achievable. He has encouraged collaboration within grade-level teams to ensure consistency of instruction in classrooms. Additionally, he has fostered a system across grade levels that has resulted in students receiving a high-quality experience as they advance yearly. Providing input is critical for change to take place in a working environment. I have admired Mr. Guyman's ability to observe and acknowledge the positive growth that teachers make. He is a frequent visitor to classrooms. His advice is consistently precise and non-threatening, never picky or trivial. He has led Wilson to make decisions not on emotion or intuition, but based on data. We have adopted tools to collect and compare data on reading comprehension and fluency, as well as overall classroom grading and attendance. The challenges facing educators and administrators are vast. Mr. Daryl Guyman is a stellar example of what leadership should look like in an elementary school. Another one of your teachers. Many of our school traditions have been started by Daryl. One of the favorites among parents, students, and staff is the Wildcat Run. This promotes physical activity and culminates in a one-mile run. Daryl is an active participant in this activity, running the mile with each grade level. Daryl is also instrumental in organizing our school-wide power hour reading blocks. This is a time where our paraprofessionals are utilized to work in conjunction with the teachers in providing small group instruction. This ensures that the academic needs of all students are met at their individual levels. This year he's implemented the Reading Book Challenge. This assures that all students have books available to them every day, at home and at school. Daryl leads by example. He always looks for ways to improve the student body, teachers, and himself. With high expectations, teacher buy-in, and good professional development, he has achieved high academic success at our school. This is a challenge with Woodruff's demographics and high student population. It is under Daryl's direction that our school received recognition by the Utah State Board of Education for Distinguished Title I School of the Year. Our student success continues to increase with each passing year. Daryl instills confidence, collaboration, and personal ownership of teaching and his staff so that everyone is working for the same goal, a quality education for every child. It has been my honor for the last 6 years to be his supervisor. And in truth, I probably have learned more from him than I know that he has learned from me. He is an advocate of kids. He is very competitive. But he absolutely wants to make sure that his staff and his kids get the very, very best. And he gives that every single day. He runs a school of 750 students. That is double the size of our smallest elementary school. And yet he does it with a smile on his face every day. And if you've never seen a little kindergarten, who just looks like this. It is a choice experience, and they do that to him every day. They love him, his staff loves him, and this is an honor well deserved. Congratulations.
I work with an incredible school, great staff, good kids, good parents. I've been a part of the Woodruff community now for about 15 years, and it's been wonderful to see the growth and those wonderful kids and great teachers. So it's a great place to be. I have some, my favorite people are with me right here, my wife Shanna. I don't cry anymore, so and my sons Nathan and Josh, wonderful kids. Not kids anymore, wonderful young men.
On behalf of the foundation, we'd like to present you with this $500 check. Now, your wife did say that she could sign that. I didn't hear her say that. Your boys have said that they know exactly what store they want you to go to afterwards. Again, for the Logan City School District for 2011-2012, Administrator of the Year, Dan Burns.
Stacy's so good, she makes us notes so we don't drop the things. We are so grateful, Daryl. What an honor it is to work with you, and Woodruff has a special place in my heart, always will. And this says, to honor your service to education by word and deed, your presence has enriched the lives of students and served as an example to all. So we appreciate all you do for Woodruff. Go Wildcat.
Congratulations.
Boy, there you go.
All right. Now we are on to, I have to look at my presentations, correct?
Yes.
And our first presentation will be by comprehensive guidance, CT, and work-based learning programs, and I'll turn the time over to Marshall again.
The next two presentations are going to be kind of a joint one between Robin and Clark, and also from the high school staff, I believe. Every year, there's some requirements so that the boards are kept up to speed as to what we're doing in our high schools, specifically in comprehensive guidance, our CTE programs, and work-based learning programs. This is a great opportunity, I think, tonight to be able to have them share what things that they're doing and what the progress they've made. You will notice on the consent calendar that there is a process there by state rule, and that we must, as a board, you must approve the information that has been given to you, and that is, so it's kind of a two-part. This is the presentation, and then there will be a vote during that time. So we'll turn the time over.
And we will make sure that the reports and the proposals for next year are ready for your work session when you actually can vote on those.
No, they're actually being voted on tonight.
Are they? Did we present those to them? I don't think we've presented them yet.
Okay. So,
and it's fine to delay that, but
as long as we're with the state, because are we planning on doing that then on the 10th?
Sure.
Okay.
If that's okay with Larry, Jennifer, and Brent. Is that good for the three of you? Okay. Again, we felt it was important to provide the culminating evidence and reports, and as I mentioned earlier, there are a lot of accolades that go to our advisors. There's also quite a bit of work that's involved on their part. We aren't allowed to just teach in isolation. We actually have an advisory committee that meets a couple times a year that's comprised of administration counselors. Our students and parents also participate in that. And we get together as a team as needed to discuss how we spend our money, what we want to do, what our plans are going to be. And so I think that the teams will tell you that we're very strategic. We even at times have cross-school conversations when we feel like it's important with Mount Logan Middle School and the high school to be in collaboration with one another. So I actually would like to start with Brent Tubbs and his summary of the program that he advises at Mount Logan is called the Intro to CTE. And Brent?
I hope that's a gift.
Yeah, one way or another will be.
Because I totally want one of those.
Yeah.
I know exactly what that is.
Hint,
hint.
At Mount Logan Middle School, we have a lot of projects, but the project is not the assignment. The project is the tool to get where they want to go, where we want them to get to. So many times I say, what are we going to do for a project? And I says, well, we're going to learn about communication, we're going to learn about engineering, we're going to learn about all these different steps. And so I brought projects. These are all student projects.
Okay.
I don't have, I'll just pass them out this way. These are rockets that the students make. And what we, I guess I should stand here, I don't know.
Yes.
But what they do is when they make them, we have them go back and research where rockets started, back to the Chinese. They go through all the different changes that we've gone through. Then we shoot them off. Then we have them do the math and science. They do Pythagorean theorem. They figure out miles per hour, feet per second, which complements math, science, and English, because they have to write about their experiences on this. That's our main goal, is to teach them math, science, and English are in everyday life. Okay. Then we have, these are from sixth grade students. And it blew my mind that they were able to do these kind of things. This is in the facts. They have to determine what they want to make. They have to lay it out, and they want to see where it's going, how, if they can mark it somewhere. And I'll let you. And I have to have you back, because I swore my life I'd get them back to students. So
that's so cute.
Then you know what? I'm gonna do this. Okay, then our sixth graders
stitching is
do a mass production project, which I love. what they have to do is they have to make a roasting stick. But it's a mass production. One person drills the holes, the next person drills another type of hole, another one sands it. Then we actually have a spot welder. When people say spot welders, they think of the shields and everything else. This is just a touch, and all they have to do is wear safety glasses. And we have never, on wood, had an incident with somebody. This is how it has to go home. And we did it this way so the kids couldn't go around jabbing each other. Mm-hmm. But you wouldn't believe how many kids have never roasted a marshmallow or a hot dog. And so we're trying to figure out a way so that we can do that safely. But that one's kind of hard when I think about marshmallows being flipped around. And yes, this is yours now.
See, the problem with me is all four of my children have one of these, and I do not have one. These are the best roasting sticks ever. That's what happens when you have Mr. Tubbs for four children.
What's that?
That's what happens when you have four children, have you? You have all of these types of things.
Then one of the other activities of problem solving, which involves parents. The students have to make, well, they don't have to, but they get to make a robotic arm that they can go into a water dispenser and pull out candy. And it has to be able to hold it, and it has to meet criteria, so there's planning, and parents really get involved, and the kids come and go, did you build this, or did your parents build this? Well, so these are some of these are some of them. They have to fit in different things. Then we go into business. And I started teaching business a few years ago, and I thought, I'm not going to like this because there's no hands-on. I'm a hands-on person. But it's incredible. We have them go on to Utah Futures, and they pick careers. They have to research, go back and find out wages, what it requires in college. This is an example. Then we have them go in on the stock market, and they figure out what stock is, and they have to learn Excel, which is a great program for them to learn. And then they have to go back and evaluate if they've lost or made money. Then we also have them teach a grocery list, because that's a huge thing, because these kids like to eat. And so they have to figure out the formulas for it. And then we do a company. And they have to write out a resume on what their skills are and how they did in the class and how it's going to be a benefit for them being this company. Then we have the company layout. So then another project they do, I'm almost done.
$30.
They have to come up with a marketing product. Doesn't have to be real. It can be whatever. And when they showed me this one, I couldn't stop laughing. They have to go through marketing, design, how they're going to sell it, all these different things. And then they make the project. A kid came up with this. This is a mute button for students. You stick it in their mouth, you program it, and you're the only one that can unprogram it to get it to turn into quiet. We're going to market this. This is what goes along with it. That's their flyer. And then if you've had any kids that are in middle school, one of their most favorite things they can do is they have a restaurant. And the parents are invited to come to this restaurant. They have to go through, design it, learn all things about it. They create their own placemats. They have all kinds of different things that they make. And the parents are just really involved on this. And that's what we really like. And so then we have one of my favorite things. We have CO2 cars, which we've changed, and I swore on my life I would get these back to them. They have to design an AutoCAD. They have to come up with an idea first, and then we're teaching these students AutoCAD and the basic skills that they're going to need. And then we go up and they design it. Okay. This is the one designed here. This is the car that won. Everything. Then we got into making want to call it, using a laser, because laser is used in the real world now with a lot of different things. And they actually have to program the AutoCAD to trace this out on their CO2 car. Then they cut it out in the wood shop. And so, and it's amazing. We have all these girls go, I can't do it. And I'll sit there and watch them, and they'll get done going, this is cool. That's the first thing I've ever made in my life. Okay? And then, oh, here's the, this is the wooden car. There we go. And they get to design it. There's all kinds of different things. Now, the project, this is the tool to get them where we're going. We race it. They have to figure out how much pressure is coming out. They have to figure out feet per second, miles per hour. They have to write about their experiences. And it's, this is what they start with. This right here, and this is what they come up with. Okay, last thing, we started this year a new program. We've used different programs for doing, what do we call it, house design, but we invested in one that's called Chief Architect. The kids love it, we love it. These are student examples that blow my mind of what they're able to do. We have a layout with roof, we have a layout, the front view, the back view, the layout of the house itself, and so, and I will let you look at them. That's where we launch it off at. Used to have CO2 cartridge, but we could only shoot it off one at a time, because they're about 50, so we converted the thing that uses just compressed air, and we have an elimination where it's double elimination, they have to lose twice, and there's a competition on that, and they really get into it, and they go, oh, I don't make modifications, and it's, and it teaches them, you know, the skills that they're going to have, you know, in the real world. Then, we're starting a new one with our laser. We're going to do a design where they have to design a product that can be able to be laser etched on a certain project. And we decided to do a flashlight because we can buy them for $1 a piece. And so what we did was we came up with a design and we, you know, not trying to say brown nose or anything else, but we thought you guys needed a flashlight that has the Logan City School District.
Oh, nice.
This is all done with laser.
It
you
does
can
have
your problems. Color. Okay. Now, I have to thank Robin extremely for the support she gives us over there. She helps us out anytime she can. Clark's over there all the time helping us, and so, and I have amazing people I teach with. These are some of the best teachers I've ever taught with, and I've been teaching for 20 years. And they are phenomenal teachers. So, oh, is there enough? I get enough out there? I appreciate the board support. I see these kids come in as little sixth graders, and they go out ready to go on to high school. So, and I've had all four of her kids.
And you, and might I say now that you have made a difference in that they love you. They really do. When they think of their favorite teachers, Mr. Tubbs is like right at the top of the list. Besides Mrs. Kelly, she's on the top of the list too.
I have more fun than they do. So that's,
I think that when, especially Karen, when she thinks back on her junior high experience, I think that she's going to think of Mr. Tubbs' class as a safe haven for her, and I am grateful. Are you sure I'm not taking this away from a child?
No.
Okay.
We always like, right. If we have a class of 25, we keep the same, we always make 30 or 32 so that they all have the same amount. There might be extras and different things, but if you guys would want some, we have extras coming over. They are wonderful. The hot dogs don't fall off.
They are very nice. Yes. So thank you. Thank you for all you do.
Okay. You're talking about the change in class. Okay. What we want to do was the sixth graders, when they come in for technology, are, I don't want to say immature, but they're not prepared with real things. And so what we're doing is we're going to take it from sixth grade to seventh grade so that we can give them more opportunities. By state law, we can do more things in the wood shop with them to create more, you know, safety and different things that they do that. And we're also going to, we have a class that's a seventh and eighth grade technology. and we're going to make that just an eighth grade, where they can go on into start doing the engineering facts, you know, different facets of engineering and technology. And we think, well, we've looked at it and talking with the students, they look at, you know, that moving that from sixth grade to seventh grade, give them more opportunities, plus they're more prepared. And then also in eighth grade, we can sit down and say, okay, let's really focus on this. Because when seventh and eighth grade together, we have to have two different programs. One for 1 year, one for next year, because we could have them in seventh grade and again in eighth grade. And it makes it a lot easier for counseling too, we hope.
So what will take the place in sixth grade? What will they take during that sixth grade time?
They're going to be doing another focus on reading.
They're put there, yeah. So if they're in, the majority of the students will be in that. If they're in orchestra or band, they may not be much of a change, but that's what they're, they wanted to give one more trimester in reading.
And then we can also, we also want to work with them when they come in where they write about the different things. They'll still have it in facts in sixth grade, family consumer science.
So they still will have
that. Yeah, they still have that, science, but so we still work with them. We're just making it so that I think we can be more focused on the kids and be more more intense a train on them, and so that they can come here better prepared. You can see we're going to work, we work with spreadsheets and all the different things. We work with the real world career applications, and that's one thing that we really want them to do. Yes, we want them to go to college, but not every kid's going to go to college. And we wanted to have that hands-on skill. And we went out to BATC with the high school, and it was a wonderful experience. The kids' eyes were just, wow, this is amazing. And they get more opportunities that way. My son is actually out there now learning to trade so that he can go to college, so he can make money to go to college. So it's a stepping stone for them to keep going. And so,
thank you.
Thank you so much. That was fascinating. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Oh, I better come over here and get this thing all shot.
As the high school team comes forward, I'd like to just tell you each of the roles. Jennifer Hyde this year has taken on the role of being the CTE department head. So she often gets the pressure from me to say I need something yesterday. And she has assumed responsibility for all of the things that I've mentioned and for spearheading the projects and making sure that we are we're on the same page and doing what we need to do. Kathy Zillis is our Pathways Coordinator, who most of you are aware that students that take CT courses and continue at BATC, and there's even an articulation now that they can go to Utah State and continue with those studies. But the Pathways is pretty important so that students are taking courses that make sense. And then we do have completers and concentrators. And as you watch graduation next week, there is a medallion that students receive that are part of that. And we appreciate Kathy's work with the Pathways Committee that bridges several arenas besides just the high school. And then Larry Williams is our work-based learning coordinator, who will also talk to you tonight. So go ahead.
I'm here to present some information on the Perkins funding. And as you may know or may not know or care, but CTE is funded with the Perkins money, and we get to meet certain benchmarks or goals each year to continue to reach to receive that funding. And some of the areas that we are going to be working on a little bit more intensely are our math achievement, integrating math into all of our CTE courses. Another one is to have secondary placement, and that's the Pathways area, but being able to identify our concentrators and completers so that people continue to take multiple classes and finish and not just take one or two CTE classes, but continue throughout their whole high school career and then beyond that as well. And then our third area is encouraging non-traditional students to take our courses. So in family consumer science, I would have boys sign up for our classes, and in the engineering have more girls, so encourage non-traditional students to take our classes. And so we set some goals to be able to meet those benchmarks that we can continue to get funding. I was also asked to talk about our budget and some things that we're going to buy with our budget and what we're going to do with our budget and why. And some of the things that the use of our funds, I think one of our most important reasons and use for our fund is to be occupationally relevant and have that equipment so that we are at the top and not when they go out into the workforce wonder, now why was I using this dinosaur when that's not really what's being used. So it's important for us to stay on top of what's occupationally relevant for the students. Also, support for our curriculum materials, materials for our learning labs, because most of, if not all of the things that we do in CTE are hands-on activities where we actually have to do and not just read about or talk about, but we actually do. Also, we do like to spend some money on staff development as well so that we can stay current as well. So some of the things that we have on our must-haves, and then we also have a wish list, but we feel that with our money we're going to purchase an iPad lab to be shared among our department, a lab of 40 iPads that, and we currently have the iPod Touches, and we're moving those to a different school and bringing in the iPads for our class, and along with that a car and a printer so that we can utilize it, not just have them sit there and look cute. We're also going to be updating Jolene Herzog's lab this year. We like to rotate the labs that are being updated so that not that each lab that we have in our business department as well as in our computer programming, et cetera, our engineering, they can stay current. So we rotate that, and this year it's Jolene's turn to get a new lab. We also have equipment for the Principles of Engineering course, some cameras for the photo, which is a new addition to our CTE classes. We're excited to have Roger Rigby as part of our CTE department and have him create, utilize the funding for the photo program. Also, we have on our list a new quilting machine with a computer to run this quilting machine, and it's awesome. It came like last week, and we're all going to spend the whole summer at the school. And not really. And
Larry doesn't want to quilt.
His wife will be there. We're also looking at a 3D printer that we think. When they said a 3D printer, I was like, I don't even know what that is, but it actually comes out with it made into the origami shape.
So oh, that's a three, yeah.
They're actually not just a picture of whatever it is. It's the
it's three-dimensional.
It's three-dimensional wow. Stuff coming out of the printer. And then a heat press, storage for a baby charging station for our babies that the adult roles class takes home. Place to keep the baby safe instead of charged and safe and all their supplies so they're not hanging about. And those are our main pieces on our budget, and we appreciate the use of these funds for our program to continue to be relevant.
And I'm sorry, Jennifer, can you tell me, I'm unfamiliar with the Perkins grant. Is that like, or funding, is that like a federally funded?
It's a federally funded Perkins oh. Act. That
we
was
get federal and state money. But she spoke to the goal. The Perkins, like most of our federal programs, have a lot of strings. So many of the meetings we've had are to address the goals and what are we doing to make sure we're meeting. So she spoke to the strategies being the integrating math and CT courses, explaining to kids that they take one more class that's considered a completer, that those kinds of things are the strategies. But again, it is part of the requirement of the federal Perkins, which is a portion of their CTE dollars.
And is that based on like enrollment? Is it based on a?
It is based on a couple things. It's based on who takes the courses, who finishes the courses, and then how well CTE students do
on their end of level exams they take, the CRTs in other words. They are held accountable for those as well, for the language arts and math.
That's about $120,000 grant.
Wow.
I have one more question. You talked about equipment. How much is the building a limitation on what you can do? Isn't your building, doesn't it really hold you back?
The electricity holds us back. The electricity holds us back.
Because your technology building's about the least able to handle technology.
The drips, we just put a bigger, this last week we just picked a bigger bucket. Because instead of a drip, it was a steady stream. But no equipment was harmed in the drips.
Correct. Glad to hear that. But that is an issue in your department, right, is your building?
We learned that staff power-wise, they say.
Okay.
Currently, we have 13 pathways at Logan High School. We have 3 in health and science, 5 in business and marketing, 3 in family and consumer sciences, and 2 in the skilled and technical areas. And this year, we do have an increase in the number of pathways we have because of the addition of the marketing program. Mr. Brown has offered marketing and sports marketing, and so that enabled us to increase the number of business and marketing pathways. Part of our money has been used to pay Chris Wardle to help us as a CTE aide. She has been valuable because she has been identifying concentrators and completers. And also another problem that we've had in the past is we have to have a social security number on completers to identify them. We can't just use the school ID number. And so she has been tracking those social security numbers down, which we know that parents don't want to give out. And so she has been a great addition to our department in helping us with pathways.
Who was that again?
Chris Wardle.
Oh, Chris Wardle. Okay.
Mm-hmm. She's been a part-time CTE aide for us since about December. Mm-hmm. So anyway, she's been great.
Wow.
Okay.
Chris has also helped me this year with work-based learning with placements. And we had one section this year taught this second semester. We started out with 22 students third quarter. We dropped 5 going to the fourth quarter to 17. The 5 that dropped had difficulty making their 60-hour requirement because of extracurricular activities and also course loads in terms of AP and concurrent classes. And so, unfortunately, critical workplace skills and work-based learning was one that was dropped. I'm encouraged next year we have 2 sections, one first semester and one second semester, which will hopefully give us more flexibility for students.
Say that again. What was dropped? I missed.
I had 5 students that couldn't complete the semester. They need to complete 60 hours at their internship site. And they're released 7th hour to do that, but those that had extracurricular activities didn't have time to get 60 hours in the semester and still do softball and track and all the other things. So, plus there were 1 or 2 that had academic issues that they needed to take care of. So, I think next year with the 2 sections, we'll have a lot more flexibility with that. So I'm encouraged with that. Chris has, again, been very helpful in helping me place those students. And work-based learning, you know, as far as I'm concerned, is one of the more valuable programs we've got in CTE because it gives them a hands-on, real-life experience. And we had most of our students, well, most, 4 of our students were in elementary or middle schools. We had a vet placement, orthopedic surgeon, orthodontist, optometrist, dermatology, Logan Library, USU Dining Services for a young lady that wants to be a baker, pastry chef. So we basically go out and ask anybody in the community, and we've got good support from the community, and we appreciate that. And also, you know, we've got great support from our building administrators, Dan and Doug and Kirk, and Robin's invaluable to not only work-based learning but CTE. She's been in the classroom, CTE teacher. So she gets what we're doing every day, and that's valuable support for us. So that's pretty much it. You got any questions about work-based learning?
Do you Does a student come in and say, I want to be a vet, and then you go and find someone that would be willing to support that? Or do you say, does the veterinarian come to you and say, I'd be willing to have a student? Is it run both ways? Or?
Typically, we've worked on developing relationships with past students at various sites, and obviously we want that to be a positive experience for both the student and the internship site. In other words, I tell our students, don't burn any bridges for us, because there's probably going to be somebody else in the future. And so far, so good. We've maintained good relationships. The fields that are most difficult are in the legal fields and in medicine to some degree.
Is it FERPA?
The Privacy Act. Pharmacy is another one that I have students interested in, but it's pretty tough to place somebody in a pharmacy because of the privacy issues. But, you know, our philosophy is we'll ask anybody in town. Now, obviously, we're limited in Cache Valley to... I had one young man wanted to be a game designer. Well, I'm not aware of any, and maybe there are, but we haven't found them yet. So
that's a new NERT badge, by the way, for the Boy Scouts of America.
Well, if you find anybody in town, Fred, let me know, because I'm sure in the future.
It's brand new this year, game design. That's
yeah, and that's we've had a young man that was interested in that. So.
Yeah.
And what actual course is that at Logan Heights? They sign up for that.
It's critical workplace skills, and they spend a third of their time in the classroom, most of that at the beginning of the semester. We do a lot of work with Utah Futures and personality profiles, resume, cover letter preparation, reference, job skills, job search skills, interview, those types of things.
And is that just for juniors and seniors?
Juniors and seniors. And like I said, this year, with just the second semester, limited enrollment, and I think next year, hopefully, we'll be able to maintain in future years having it both semesters, which is what we're hoping for.
Wow. Amazing.
Any other questions? It's a great program. Got great support, great faculty to work with. We've got a great department.
If any of those people want to be a school board member, just let us know. We'll shadow any of them. They've never want to run for public office ever.
I'll let them know. Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you. We appreciate all you do.
Give accolades to the CTE departments at both schools. I always tease the high school that they're my happy place when I go over there, and they give me a hard time about that. But just very quickly, I want you to also know, when you hear people say that teachers get 3 months off in the summer, that's absolutely not true. You know the days. You know what people put in. And this year, we actually have our best ever attendance from our CTE departments at both schools that will be giving up part of their summer. We actually have 15 teachers that will be attending summer training for CTE, and some of those teachers are doing double duty. Logan, Kathy, and Jolene will be attending classes, but then they also will be getting certified with Microsoft. So they'll become certified trainers that will be industry recognized when they're done. So no fun for you at nighttime, I guess, with that. But we have 15 teachers attending, 2 counselors, and this year we actually have an administrator that will be attending with the people as well. So, again, huge kudos. Good job.
Thank you.
I guess I'm next. If you're wondering why we always do this together, CTE and comp guidance, the counselors are really under the umbrella of CTE. It's all handled by the same department down at the State Office of Education. But the Comprehensive Guidance Program is a program that's been developed over the last 20-some-odd years at the state level, and is a very structured, wonderful program. And as a school board, you're asked each year to adopt that as our counseling and guidance program. So really what we're asking you to do is just say, yes, we're using the state comprehensive guidance model, and we're using it to fidelity, and we are, there's also a grant associated with that, which is quite a bit of money. So, but the state recognizes the importance of that, and I was going to have Grant and Terry present tonight. Grant had something come up at the last minute. I have a few things that he wanted me to bring up, but I'm going to go ahead and turn a few minutes over to Terry Painter from Mount Logan Middle School. And let me just say how much I've enjoyed over the last few years working with Terry. I've learned a lot about middle school counseling and some of the challenges and intricacies of working. My teaching experience was mostly at the middle school, but I didn't do counseling at that level. And it's a fascinating process, especially in a large middle school like Mount Logan Middle School. But let me turn some time over to Terry, and then I'll follow up with a little bit of a report from Logan High School. Terry?
There have been a lot of changes in comp guidance. I think that the old school, looking at what does a counselor do, was they sat and they waited for somebody to come in crying, mm-hmm. and then they worked with them and maybe called their parents in and things like that. But the emphasis is totally changing. In fact, this year we will no longer be doing SEOPs from we don't do it really in sixth grade, we have parent-teacher conferences, but we are changing it to career and college readiness plans. And I know sometimes people think like in seventh grade you're already talking like that, but the thing is that we've started to realize we ask children to make choices, and they've been making choices indiscriminately with no rhyme or reason. I can tell you some amazing choices. I've called kids in to say, and why did you decide to do this? And they give me a reason. I go, well, that's just, I mean, I had a boy who wanted to do modern dance at the high school. And I said, so you recognize you'll be like in a tutu and you know, he's what? I thought it was, you know, what is it? Where you spin around on the ground. No, hon. They just sometimes do things. Or you'd have somebody sign up for Russian, you ask why? Because his best friend did. So what we're trying to do is to get these kids to start thinking more about they are making choices. And time is so much of an issue these days. In fact, Brent and I are going to be working a lot through the business next year. We will attempt to have every, and we have not done this in the past, I will attempt to do an SEOP with every single kid in the seventh grade. And we want, I know, I'm kind of scared, but I figured we've been talking about it through the business class because it's the perfect vehicle for it. And to be asking the kids to start thinking, they'll be making a four-year plan, which once again is something we've never really asked them to think about the future. Yet we keep asking them to make decisions about the future. But what we want to do is have them thinking about it and making good, intelligent, thoughtful ideas about what they want to do. Another thing that we've done, and this will be huge with this new college readiness plan, is we used to have a counselor for sixth grade, a counselor for seventh, and a counselor for eighth. We've started to loop. We looped the seventh and eighth grade. It was so effective that this year Mike allowed us to start with the sixth grade. So another benefit of it is I was the sixth grade counselor, and I know the students so that when they get to seventh grade, it isn't an, you know, I keep thinking SEOP plan because that's what we used to do, but it isn't just with somebody who doesn't know that child really well. And I know it seems crazy, but it is amazing how if you put a lot of energy into kids. I've spent a lot of time in the sixth grade getting to know the kids, doing collaboration things. So we're hoping then that we will get it done. It's really only 2 to 3 meetings every day. You know, so if you break it down, I think it's possible. And I'd rather see it done, and then I get to go on with them to eighth grade, and I think it will make a difference that when they're ready to go to high school, they have a better sense of what they're doing because you just keep working it and working it. And I also believe that Larry's program is something that is dearly missed. And we need to get more kids who think they want to be an engineer. My own son, I want to be an engineer. Well, guess what? He went to engineering. I paid for college. No. He's really just a math nut. He wants to go teach chemistry and physics to AP kids in the high school. But, you know, it was one of those things. If he had done that more, and he's an intelligent kid, a lot of our kids are still just children that need an opportunity to find out what are we really talking about. And I think a lot of kids go up to college and they're not quite ready because they really don't know what they're talking about. So that is a huge emphasis that we are going to be working on this year. Mm-hmm. And it's the Comp Guidance Program. It's changing a lot. It's no longer just waiting for kids to come in crying. It's, you know, just really pushing to get them to understand who they are and what might be best for them. Thank you, sir.
One of the requirements of the Comprehensive Guidance Program on the state level is to do data projects, and those are submitted every year from each school. And Grant wanted me to highlight a couple of the data projects they're doing this year. First of all, I think it's significant that we are really looking at data from a counseling perspective. One of the things that we're seeing in the Logan High School data is that the transition from eighth grade to ninth grade is huge. We've talked before about some of the SEOP, and I still am saying SEOP, some of the things that are done in the eighth grade, preparing those students for ninth grade, but we see that there's a real need to track those ninth graders much more carefully and to pay attention to data, academic data, behavior data, attendance data, all of those kinds of things, because as we look at completion rates, dropout rates, those kinds of things, much of that trend manifests itself in the ninth grade. So we will share that data project with you as we share it with. I believe those are due in about a week. I think June 1st is the deadline. So we'll share those with the board as well as sending them into the state. Grant, sorry you couldn't be here tonight, but do you have any questions about the Comp Guidance Program that we haven't covered?
I'm pretty aware of
that, I think. The change is going to be felt more and more over the next few years as we have more focus because of federal requirements as well as state requirements on accountability. It is changing the role of the counselor and but some areas of great strength that they have, and I think I'm excited for the opportunities that will be there for our students to have a better relationship and a stronger relationship with our counselors, because they have a great impact upon the decisions that these children make in their future and for their future. Just as a clarification, Clark, are you in a situation then in terms of the approval process with the state that is based upon the written plan that is turned in June?
Yes.
Does it have to be approved by the board prior to turning in?
The actual rules on comp guidance are just a little different in that we just need an approval from the board to adopt the comp guidance program. There is a written report to the board every year, but that's not really what you approve. What you're approving is that you're going to be using the Comp Guidance Program that we've adopted.
Board, as we look at when we get to the consent calendar, we will pull the part off of CTE and work-based learning programs until we get that final written report. But with the comprehensive guidance, it would be a support of. That's what that will be, and Stacy, that could be designated in the minutes. And the support of the state-approved comprehensive guidance program is what we use within the Logan City School District.
Yes. That we've had presented on it.
Right. Okay, thank you so much for all that you do. Terry,
yes.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. Awesome. Now we're going to move on finally to our math presentation, National Council on on Teaching Mathematics. Marshall?
Right. Just very quickly, we had an opportunity to send Barbara and Jay Lynn back to the National Council of Teachers of Mathematics to do a presentation. Jay Lynn, as you know, is our Teacher of the Year for this past year, and has been very heavily involved in the math program at Hillcrest Elementary School and helping and teaching a lot of our teachers in our elementaries. And we gave her the opportunity of going back with Barbara, who was making the presentation. And we are very, very fortunate, this district, to have such superb, outstanding master teachers in mathematics in our elementary level. So we just wanted to allow them to spend some time with you on what they presented. And they're already, their wheels are turning for next year. And we think we'll be able to also get to be able to be on there. Getting in as a presenter at NCTM is one of the most difficult things there is. They do not accept a lot of them because there's so many who would like to present. So it's quite an honor that we had this year to be able to do so. And I think that with what occurred, that they will be possibly able to do it again next year. So with that, we'll turn it over to Barbara and Jaylen.
On the screen behind you is just a quick snapshot. It was in Philadelphia, and it was a great opportunity for us to be able to share that. A couple of years ago, we did the Math Academy with some of the federal ARRA funds, and I remember Marshall and I having that conversation. He said, you need to share this out in one of those conferences, and so just on a whim, Max Longhurst and I submitted the proposal, and it was accepted. So we were pretty excited about that. And then Max had some other reasons why he couldn't attend, and Jaylen was willing to go with me. So that was a great opportunity. I have just put together a little presentation of some of the highlights of the sessions that we attended. If it will go to the next slide. Okay, well, we'll just tell you about them anyway. One of the presentations that we attended was Marilyn Burns, and she's kind of the guru of math, especially the elementary math world. And she's been working with Scholastic and the Gates Foundation and has recently put together a math reasoning inventory to assess 5th and 6th grade students to see if they are Common Core ready with their skills. And you do an interview with the students and ask them 10 number sense. There's three different inventories, one for number sense, one for fractions, and one for decimals. And I've had the opportunity this last couple of weeks to be doing that at Bridger and also at Wilson, and just seeing how well our kids are prepared in their reasoning skills to move on with the Common Core. And that has been eye-opening, and I think that we will be able to implement that at more of our schools and use that as a screener, and working with the sixth grade teachers as well to give them that opportunity. And nice that it's associated with the Gates Foundation, because it's at no cost to us to be able to use that inventory, so that has been great. Other presenters that we attended, I'll let Jaylen address those and then I'll finish up.
We went to a couple, one on conceptual, and we really promote the CPA model. So we're always looking for concrete, pictorial, and abstract representation so that we can move kids, transition them from the concrete to the abstract. So they have a clear understanding, and they know lots about their number sense, and they really understand what they're doing. So a couple presentations that we went to connected those concepts, those concretes, with mental math. And they just validated what we're doing, which was really good. And then they gave us lots of other ideas that we can incorporate into our Singapore Strategies classes. So we are looking forward to doing that. Well, the next one's on the other slide, isn't it? I'll let you take over.
Yeah, at the bottom of that slide, there is a gentleman by the name of Douglas Clemens. And I was interested in hearing him speak because he has done all of the research on subitizing, which is what is behind part of the Singapore Strategies and our use of the abacus. And it was, as Jaylen said, very validating for us to find out that what we're doing is what the rest of the country is kind of going, oh yeah, this really works. This is a great idea. So, next slide. And the one in the middle was our presentation, and we did focus. It was interesting. The people that did come to our session really were interested in lesson study, really were interested in Math Academy, and wanted to replicate that in their districts. I've had several emails from different teachers, and professionally, that's a great opportunity to be able to share those ideas with teachers from other states and promote math education.
It was a lot of fun doing that. I was in one of the teachers in the Math Academy when Max and Barbara did that. So I was able to give them a perspective from the teacher rather than from those in charge of it. And, you know, the people who were there were very interested in finding out that, you know, teachers can teach other teachers, and we learn a lot from each other. And that was the power in the lesson study for at least the teachers, was we learned so much from having that time to collaborate with each other and communicate and to see each other teaching and use those things within our own classrooms, as well as see, you know, the expertise that teachers have, because so many times we get stuck in a classroom and we don't get to see how other people do it. So there's a great power in the lesson study, and we appreciate the opportunity to do that, and thanks for letting me be involved in that. Some other things that we went to, we tried to do a little bit of guided math in the fourth grade classroom up at Hillcrest, mine and Heather's class. We luckily had help from Barbara and some student teachers. Well, we had help. And we were able to incorporate some guided math in there, which was a great and powerful learning tool for kids. Helped us teach to the levels that they were at, and we were able to do it for a while when we had the help. So after we did that, I actually had a couple people come and watch and try and learn to see if they could do that in their classrooms. And after that, we knew there was an interest, so we decided to hit up a couple of classes where they also have been doing guided math. And we were inspired, and so Barbara and I and some other teachers are going to try and put together some guided math again this summer and see if we can have some more solid plans put in place so that we can actually give this a shot and see if we can make it work in fourth grade.
We put this together in with links, all of the handouts and all the resources that we obtained, and then this will be posted to the web for teachers. We've had a lot of success this year with our trainings. We've been doing those Singapore strategy trainings for the last several years, and Robin helped us come up with the great idea of posting those to YouTube this year. And we've been able to share those trainings out with teachers in five different districts. And teachers that can't come at the time, they have, through technology, are able to access that information. And it's reached about 60 teachers this year. So that's been a great experience as well. So we just wanted to say thank you for your support and for the opportunity that we had to attend.
Any questions? Anne's coming. Any questions, Anne?
I asked Robin if she would send us the YouTube link so that we could actually go on if we wanted to use a board to watch some of these math presentations, because I've always felt like when there was limited seating in your classes, I didn't want to go and take up a seat. But I would love to observe some of what you do, and if we can just go on YouTube and do that, that would be a great way for us to understand what you do more.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
What an awesome opportunity. And next time you need a chaperone, let us know. Nobody's taken us up on that so far tonight, so I'm hoping. All right. We are now going to have a presentation on the Gear Up Grant, and I will turn the time over to Marshall for that.
His mic is coming up. Mike will do the presentation. Mount Logan Middle School and eventually Logan High School are part of a grant that was first developed actually over a year ago, and we were right on the cusp of getting it, but they limited the number of grants available. So we missed out on 1 year, but this is actually a 7-year grant, and Mike will go over the details on it. But this is an opportunity of focusing in on schools that have the specific demographics that we have to be able to encourage students to continue on into college. And the opportunities we are going to be having from this grant are going to be tremendous. And each school can somewhat develop and design what their needs are for their specific areas. Four districts are involved, plus four charter schools, I believe, throughout the state. And it is done through Utah State University, and we're excited about the partnership with them. And I'll turn the time over now to Mike to kind of share with you what Mount Logan Middle School is going to be doing with their Gear Up Grant.
Like the superintendent said, we've worked on this for about a year and a half. Some of you may remember that there was a Gear Up Grant awarded to Mount Logan, I'm guessing probably 10 years ago. The idea of that original grant was really targeting minority students, and so I think one of the things that was learned by providing that grant was that it benefited students, but it didn't benefit them as much as if we took a whole class of students. Philosophically, we want to integrate all of our students together and not single out and say you get these dollars and this group doesn't. And I think that was probably the drawback of the original Garrett grants. And so the federal government has provided these grants as really early intervention programs, trying to help kids have aspirations for further education, also to understand scholarships and understand the amount of opportunities that there are for them. And that's probably the thing that they found that many students go through our high schools and don't really understand all of the opportunities there are unless they have families that are just kind of helping push along those ways. And so the design of these grants is they will take a cohort of students, our sixth grade and our seventh grade, and it will follow those students for 7 years. So we'll essentially have access to the grant for the next 3 years with our sixth grade and then 2 years with our seventh grade, and then that money will follow the students on the Logan High. The current seventh graders will actually be in this program for 7 years, so if they go on to a post-secondary institution, then that money will follow them to that institution as well to help them through that first year of college. And so it's pretty powerful. There's been some tremendous things that have happened from these particular grants. So it'll be a real blessing to our district for not only for us for several years, but for Logan High School for the following 4 years after that. So the design of the grant, or the intent of the grant, is to really focus on the STEM, the science, technology, engineering, math. And so when you look at taking grant money or look at trying to help kids, there's a couple of things that we really try to do in our classrooms is to individualize instruction as much as we can. So the onus falls on teachers to try to find the needs of kids and then design lessons so that we're not just teaching to the middle and try to get the whole gamut. With a grant like this, it gives us the opportunity to not only do it within the classroom but also within the school. So what we'll do with that grant money for the next couple of years is really differentiate opportunities for kids. So being able to offer small groups of students really just support, help, attention, some of those things that they need. One of the things that I've been interested in starting for quite some time is a program that really tries to hit some of those kids in the middle that may be first generation college attendees. And so we're working with a company. We'll have our first meeting with them tomorrow. They're called Shore Score. The design of it is really to try to take a group of students as a cohort. And so we'll start with one group of sixth grade and one group of seventh grade. They'll have the same teacher for the 2 or 3 years that they're with us, and then we'll transition them to a teacher at the high school who will then take that same group of kids all the way through. The students that we're targeting on this are students that are really in that 2.5 to 3.0 GPA range, capable but not quite performing all the way, or especially the identification of kids that have it but they're holding back. And so we're going to pull those students in. There's a lot of specific instruction that we give to them, whether it's Cornell note taking, whether it's interest surveys, how to apply, but then a lot of academic curriculum as well. And so those students will actually sign a contract as well as their parents with us, and then we just take them through for the next 5, 6, 7 years and really identify those kids by connecting them with mentors from Utah State University who come in and help give them a vision, basically, of where they can go with that. And so A portion of that group, of course, will be students of ethnicity, but a portion are also students that just have never quite had an example in their lives, maybe to help them get to that point. The other intervention that we plan to use with that money is really to support that science technology part is our discovery program. Okay. So for the next couple of years, we'll run that through our grant money, and we know that there's success involved with that, and at least find a way to do that. And the other thing that we've found some real success with is that Literacy Academy that we've presented to you before, mm-hmm. and we'll now bring that through the grant, because I feel like one of the things that will really help students is to have a full-time teacher, a trained teacher that actually administers that program. So we've had really great success through the AmeriCorps folks, and that's mainly because we've been able to have certified teachers serve in those positions. But I want to kind of solidify that as part of the curriculum that we can offer our students. So those would be kind of the three focus areas as far as with the Shore Score, the Discovery Program, the Literacy Academy that we'll use personnel-wise. And then there's also the opportunity for us to just supplies, materials, opportunities for field trips and things that students can just give them more focus. One of the things that in our meetings a week ago, too, is just continuing that connection that we can meet the needs of some of our gifted students as well with the university. And I think the connections with the folks at the university through the student services areas and that will just solidify what we've kind of started with our one-day university and some of those programs. So the way that I identify the schools for these programs are really based on socioeconomics. And it just happens that Mount Logan, the size of Mount Logan probably constitutes about half of the population of the grantees. So the other schools that are involved, there's one from Davis District, Wendover High School, which is 7 through 12. There's a school from North Stampede, isn't there, and South Stampede, I believe. And so when they're looking at that, part of it is the ethnic populations meeting the needs of Native American students, meeting the needs of low socioeconomic students, and really giving them that vision of how do I do college and how do I finance it. So that's
question for you. From what you've said, it sounds like targeting some specific kids, but also being able to do kind of some grade-wise things.
Right.
So it's not that you're choosing 25 students that will be followed, or is that true also?
Well, it is true partly, but...
So there's more of a general and then a more specific...
Yeah, we'll kind of have this cohort group, but the money really benefits all the students in that grade level. So they give you the money based on per pupil. And so really the way for them to be successful is to be successful along with their peers. But some of their peers have great family support and great information already. And so we're going to try and target some of those kids that may not have that.
How large will your cohort group be?
Well, our counseling department right now is just kind of going through looking at potential candidates. So I'm anticipating 25 in each grade.
So
if there's enough, we may form two classes in each grade, but right now that's what we're looking at.
The other plus on this that we're really hoping for is that there is, at least now, we don't know what the federal government's budget will be, but there is an anticipation that there will be another set of grants that will be available, so that as this one goes on, because we've been successful in the past, successful grants have allowed for multiple years, so we would get a second grant, keeping this going for another cohort as they were coming through. So we're hoping that, you know, that's our hope and goal. And Utah State really came through, I believe, in the coordination of this as a grant. It's very different than what we've had before, and we're excited about that partnership.
Yeah, we've been really fortunate. Yolanda Neiman came to Utah State University from Washington State University, where they had just have been offered a similar grant. And through their extension services, they're able to meet the needs of students all over the state. And so I think that's one of the attractive parts of this grant. But using her experience really helped us. And as we look at the benchmarks of meeting certain points for science testing and math testing and things like that, the onus really falls on our district because, you know, if our kids do well, really the whole grant will do well because we're probably, 40% of the population in this grant.
Didn't you say Utah State was paying the bills for this?
Right. They are the fiscal agent, and that's and I have been asked to be the lead superintendent to coordinate this with them. We will have an advisory group of all four superintendents and making sure that things are going through the entire 7 years of the grant. So we're excited about that. And it is going to be a little different because they're the lead, because a lot of it will go to our employees, and so we're trying to work out those details as to how we do the money, but it will be worked out, and we're appreciative of the support that the school has given. They've got a great plan, and I believe that needs to be due by the middle of June, kind of the plan for next year. So, yeah, so we're excited about that.
And are you anticipating moving Discovery back to the original plan, or will it stay in its modified version? Does that make sense?
It's a little bit of both. it's going back to what we originally did with students receiving three periods at a time. So we'll have a morning group and an afternoon group. What I've asked the teachers to do is to teach all four content areas, language arts, math, science, and social studies during that three-period block. Mm-hmm. So we won't... those two teachers, Jan Humphreys, will move over and work with Eric Newell, and they'll teach all that in the morning. And then the other portion of that we're doing is bringing in a literacy class for sixth graders that will really focus. It's kind of a model off of what we've done with the Literacy Academy. And so a lot of those students that are in the Discovery program also have heavy reading needs, and so we'll address that as well with those kids.
So Eric won't be scrambling for financial support to keep Discovery.
He can actually focus on teaching this year.
Very nice. Well, that's exciting. That Discovery program is amazing. So.
And I think, Zane, in answer to your question, it'll just follow the same as what we normally do with federal grants: is spend ahead and then request
reimbursement. I'm finding out. I just got an email from Eric today, and he was going to get with all of us to go over the specifics on that, and then work through our business administrators on exactly what we need.
On Discovery?
No, on the budget.
Oh, okay. All right. Any other questions? Very nice. Thanks, Mike. That was a great presentation.
I'm sure you have to do lots of data for it.
Yeah. It is interesting. There's a tad of accountability. It's going to be interesting on this, but
there will, and a lot of it actually will fall on Logan High, because once the students get to the 11th grade, we'll really need to make sure that we're showing that 98% of the students have information on scholarship, and they've had meetings on how to access that scholarship money. It'll really fall heavily on that high school counseling department.
How are you going to deal with the transient nature of our kids? You know, to follow somebody from 6th grade through 12th, the likelihood of them moving is really great in our district.
It is, and it's even greater in some of the other districts. You take Wendell High School, for example, and it's extremely transient. So the way it will be tracked is really by the performance of the students in that grade.
So it won't be an Andrew and a Mike Monson that they try. It'll be
that group of students all the way through, regardless of its makeup.
And kids will be coming and going into the cohort. Okay.
Yeah. So it'll give it won't be as specific as per person.
A lot of the data requirements will not be on the individual students. It will be on the class itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's really what we do as a school or a district.
All right. That makes sense.
Awesome.
It's a little easier to manage.
Hey, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. That finishes our presentations for tonight, and we're now going to go into informational. It looks like our Parent Teacher Association president, Cynthia Miller, is excused, so she will not be doing a presentation. as well as our Classified Employees Association. Cheryl Brown is also excused.
Kirk, was Mike, I saw him here. Did he have to leave?
He had to leave and he asked me to report for the teachers.
Okay.
All right, so now we'll invite Kirk Allen to come up. He's going to report for the LEA. Is he serious about that?
Pardon?
Are you really going to do that? Okay, he's going to report for the... I thought maybe you were just joking. The LEA and the... Administrators Association.
Yeah,
there you go.
Excuse my casual attire, but I had an opportunity to do some recreation, and I took advantage of it. So. And I told the wife I'd be home by 7.
And you don't have your tiltiest football or your tiltiest golf hat on.
Yeah, it's still in there, isn't it? But I thought I'd be appropriately in
the You're obedient to your wife tonight.
Yes. Your father
disobedient last night.
She's taught me well. I know how to do that. Both the Teachers Association, Classified Association, and the Ministry Association have been deeply involved in, we don't want to call it negotiations, because I don't think we're in negotiations, but what we are trying to do is find revenue sources so that there is some funds available to fund the school district, to make sure the school district is able to operate, but then also find ways to pay for health insurance, as well as then look at the possibility for providing all three groups a raise, or cost of living raise, COLAs or job enhancements, whatever people want to call it. So we have been involved in a lot of what we all like to call early morning seminary meetings and trying to look under every rock, which we think we have done, and some things under the rocks have stayed underneath the rocks, and because that's where they belong, and some things have come out and have had a good hard examination of the funds. Such things as you probably kept abreast of the things that we have done to try and find a large amount of money so that we could pay for the deficit that the school district was given or walked its way into or however it got there, in the legislatures, whoever, and then as well as try and manage a 14% increase in insurance. And we have been, I think, all three groups have been very compatible. I think all three groups have been united. I think at times you'll see a little bit of territory come up, but it seems to be dispelled after discussion. And we do seem to be there for the common good of all groups. And I think that's been a very promising and a very, I think, kind of an uplifting experience to be with. Our problem now is we have to make a decision. We cannot delay any longer. The secondary schools particularly have been making schedules and making schedules and making schedules. And if we don't do something soon to resolve this and go into the month of June and July without teachers knowing what they're going to be teaching, we've run two or three drafts of the high school. We again had three teachers come in to us saying, what are we going to do? This isn't going to go into June or July, is it? I need to know what I'm teaching. Science department chairs come in and say, how many sections are we going to have? And we've been able to give them that information yet, but we need to. I think we really need to. I think if we don't do it soon and resolve it soon, at both levels, particularly high school and the middle school, that we're going to have a little more unrest in our school district. And we don't need that. We went through a little firestorm. We don't want to do that again. We'd like for things to remain calm. As you all know, administrators, there's going to be some major changes at the secondary school level, at the middle school and the high school next year. And those are really going to draw upon the administrative skills of the folks who are there. But there are major changes. We have the new principal coming in. And he's going to have a new assistant principal. Just one person will be there who has a history. Jim Peacock will bring a little bit of history. But as much as we can have things calmed down and settled as administrators, we'd like to be able to do that so that the person, Shane, who's coming in, will be able to come in and hit the ground running rather than being held up by a lot of restraints and things like that as he's trying to learn. I'm leaving in June, but I've told the youth and custody people, and I make a commitment to the superintendent, I'll make myself available so that whatever I can do to help in the transition, share with the areas that I know something about, that I will be able to do that, because we don't want to. I've grown to love Logan High School. We have, and I'm not telling you anything you don't know, we have the most incredible teachers at Logan High School I've ever associated with. And I taught at Box Elder High School for 11 years, loved everybody there, but what I see at Logan High School is amazing. What I see in the way of administrators in this district are amazing, and we need to make sure we continue to take care of classified people. Oh my heavens, they've been cut back, they've lost insurance, they've lost this and this, but yet they keep coming to work. And if I could give any of you some suggestions, I can't give you advice, but I can give you some suggestions in the next little while. I would go out in your official capacity, in your friendship, and start patting people on the back and start shaking their hands and start complimenting our teachers and our administrators for the jobs that they're doing, because they are doing incredible with less than they've ever had before, with more students than they've ever had before. It will go a long way, and Gary, for them to see you, and you go in and pat them on the back and shake their hand and say, thank you, you're doing a wonderful job. Fred, James, Christy, all of you, superintendent, now more than ever, they realize there's no money, but they want to hear that they're doing a good job, and they need to hear that from you. We tell them that all the time, but they feel that there's a disconnection between the districts and the school board and them, and you can do an awful lot to assure them there isn't a disconnect, that you are interested in what they're doing, you care about what's going on, because I know you do. But they need to hear it, and they would love to be able to just have you walk through the halls and stick your head into a classroom, wave at them, say thank you, great job, boy, I see what you're doing there, hey, I see you in the hall, and that stuff. That is at all levels, elementary also, and I know you're very busy people, but just a suggestion. I do an awful lot to help things, people know you're there and aware of their situation. Okay? And as I leave, I have to say to you school board members, I don't know how people can really understand what you do and how many hours it takes. I think of Lynn Hobbs, and he's finally retired from being a baker, but the many hours he had spent here, then up at the crack of dawn, back to work, year after year after year. And you and I have been together with this sort of stuff for, 15 years or so. It's been a long, long time. Fred, we've been banging around and being covey trained and all that stuff for a long, long time. Christy and James, we appreciate you guys coming on board. I just have to thank you, really. It's incredible the energy you put in, the time you put in, the sacrifice you put in. People think it's, they're just serving themselves, but if they sit here long enough, they realize you're not serving yourself. I haven't always agreed with your decision, but I know that you've made it with thoughtfulness, you've made it with research, and you've made it with your purpose, I think, dedication to the students and citizens and staff at Logan High School. And so I compliment you for your service. I thank you for your service. I have great respect for each and every one of you, and I wish you well as I ride into the future, right into the sunset, excuse me. And you won't hear from me again. This is it. I'm done. And good luck for you all. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Since you stayed to the end of the meeting, you get something.
Kirk, on behalf of the board, and Christy will say a few words as well, we want to thank you for your years as the president of the association, for your time you spent at these meetings, and the time that you spend at all those 6 a.m., David, our 6 a.m. meetings. We'll be having a few more of those in the near future. But thank you again, and I appreciate working with you for the last 6 years. Thank you.
You know, it's going to be an interesting dynamic going to the high school and not seeing you there. I don't think I've ever seen him not smile. There's two people in my life that are always smiling, and you're one of them. And I am just grateful. I really am. You've been a very strong anchor at Logan High, and we're going to miss you. And I wish you the best, and hopefully you'll at least come and grace us occasionally with your presence.
When I can and where I can. Let's go down the sidelines.
There you go. Well, thank you so much. And it's obvious. It's obvious that you do love them, and they love you too.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, it's going to get teary almost there for a second. Wow. All right. Are we on to something else?
Consent.
Okay. Consent calendar.
What are we on to today? Oh, dear. Okay.
We are onto the consent calendar, and you've all had a chance to look at and review the consent calendar. Do we have any questions or comments about the consent calendar, or do I have a motion for that?
I would move acceptance of the consent calendar if we take off CTE on it. So,
work-based learning.
Okay, move approval on everything but CTE and work-based learning.
All right, I have a motion from Ann. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Any discussion on that? All right, seeing none, all in favor of approving the consent calendar, say aye.
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 All right, motion passes. We have a couple of action items today. The first one is action on revision of the FY13 calendar, and Superintendent will explain that.
Yes, you have taken, again, in our process, we look at the calendar a year in advance. That has been semi-approved, and then there was a final approval, and now we're coming back for a second approval. The State of Utah, State Office of Education, State Board of Education, last year allowed for districts to take 2 days of instructional time, student instructional time, to be used for focused in-service professional development with teachers on the Common Core standards and their implementation. We did not, when we passed this current calendar, we did not know whether or not we would have that same option for the next school year, the 2012-2013 school year. That has come through as an option for districts, and the rules again are to use those two, either 2 full days or you can use them in minimum days. Last year we used them as 4 minimum days. We combined that with 5 minimum days that we had built in. Again, we did that because of the loss of all of our quality teaching days that we had, and it was the only way to get consistency in our training for through the full year. As we went to administrative staff this past year and also listened to a lot of our parents who were concerned about the minimum days that we were out, we felt that, and they came up with a recommendation that would be different this year than it was last. The recommendation that they have came back with is to use 2 days prior to the beginning of school as the 2 professional development days, August 16th and 17th, I believe, and Thursday and Friday. And then in our calendar, we had that we would be coming back on the 2nd and the 3rd of January, the Thursday and Friday. So what we would propose to do is we will have 2 full weeks at our winter break, have those 2 days in August for the training. The requirements on this, obviously, we still meet the 180 student days, but we truly are only at 178 because those 2 days will be used for the professional development. But we felt that was the most family-friendly. It allowed the parents the less concern. We still will have 5 days, minimum days, built in. We're working on that now with the schools to see when those are best to be done. But what you're being approving tonight would be the you're giving authority to you to request at the State Office of Education the use of those 2 days and then to use them on those 2 days in August.
So the teachers will come back to school on the 16th?
16th and 17th, yes.
And then they still have contract days. It'll be the
20th. Contracts, then they will have 2 contract days on the 20th and 21st. That's correct.
They
we start school
2 full weeks off rather than coming back 2 days earlier.
And that is correct. And then all staff will be gone for 2 full weeks at Christmas, or winter break, excuse me, to be politically correct.
I know, having talked with some families and also teachers as well, a full day of school does a lot. You get a lot more done than a half day of school.
They felt on the front end, because of the changes and the transitions, we'll have had a large group of going through the Common Core Standards Academy this year. It's allowing for them to really be in their classrooms, but be together and doing collaborative work, and for those other 2 days, so really focus these 2 days on professional learning. We have some more requirements and accountability on those for this next year, but they're all very doable. We did them last year in a very similar fashion anyway, and so we're excited for the time that the schools will be able to utilize.
So does that add 2 days to their contract?
No.
Because I'm sorry, add 2 days of... No. Additional pay?
No, because
it takes away too many of students.
They would not be coming back that Thursday and Friday.
So the Common Core has finally been approved by.
It's been approved since 2010.
But it's now the Utah Core, according to the legislature.
Utah Common Core standards, and that's from those standards we then develop our curriculum.
What was the opening up again for discussion? What was that about?
There's a group who felt that there was an intrusion of the standards into local decision making, specifically state decision making, Utah. The standards were not developed by the federal government. The standards were developed by a consortium of 33 states. However, the federal government is utilizing it to take advantage of the fact that they're in there to be able to look at assessments and have developed some things around them as part of their No Child Left Behind process. That's where some of the legislators are finding some angst. They want to make sure that we still have our independence. The irony in all of this is when we first went to the Utah Core back in 1984, we did it completely on our own, and we were one of the first states that actually had a set amount of curriculum developed for a state. We then went on for assessments. The challenge we've always had with those assessments is that there was no way to benchmark it against anybody else because everyone did their own thing. It was there was a level of reliability and validity, but it wasn't as universal. So we were, in order to get to the international standards, they said we need to have higher standards. We need to make sure that we have things that are comparable. I mean, and that's why the states did what they did, and they went out for the development of some assessments. Now we're being questioned for having gone that direction, even though that's the direction that we were told that we needed to go so that we would have the ability to compete in an international market.
Oh, it's also interesting. Some of us remember a few years ago when the math standards were adopted that were not the Common Core math standards. The Board of Education adopted some math standards for Utah. The legislature said you didn't follow the National Teachers of Mathematics standards, and so the legislature vetoed what the state board had done and said, you've got to go with these national standards. And now, you know, the board chose to be part of a consortium to develop national standards, and there are legislators saying, no, you can't do that. You're giving away our sovereignty. So basically, you know, it's both ways. Whatever the state board does, there's going to be certain groups especially who are against it.
There's still a lot of misinformation out there, and one of the things that we hope to share with you on the 18th when we do our work session is we talk about community involvement and the ability of marketing ourselves as a district is one of the topics we'd like to spend some time with you on, is as how we as a district can help the Logan community understand the standards more and be part of it, because we are coming into a different world, and their children are coming into a different world than we were raised and we were put through school, and we need to be able to give our parents the tools to be able to assist their children in this transition. It's as frustrating on parents as it is on the adults. The kids are getting it. That's the interest. We went into two classrooms at Bridger Elementary School a week ago, and which I'll talk a little bit more about in my report. It was amazing to watch these kids, and not to try to get an answer, doing a math question, but it was not something that had an easy answer. And it wasn't the answer that the teacher was after, it was the process. And to watch kids process through mathematics and be comfortable with that. They were comfortable. Now, those of us that were observing were all going, how are you going to get an answer out of them? You know, we were just, because our mold and our focus has been in an old school. But our students are going to be given the tools to meet a 21st century learning environment, which is exciting.
So back to the calendar.
Yes.
Sorry.
So are you indicating that all of the half days are listed on the calendar, or will there be some additional half days? Because
I don't remember if we finalized the five minimum days yet. with the, I don't believe that this calendar, in the past we've done the beginning and the major parts, and you've allowed us then to put in the parent-teacher conferences and the minimum days.
There are parent-teacher conferences.
Parent-teachers, I believe,
the half day
is on that, but I don't believe the minimum days
are. Yeah, there are December 21st, half day of school.
Well, that always is because it's the day before. I'm trying to remember if they've gotten back to, I don't remember them getting back to me officially. All three at levels are working together on common dates for those minimum days, the five minimum days.
Looks like there are a few half days put in there, but not all.
There should be five.
And I would really like to have those incorporated into the calendar on the webpage, because sometimes those creep up on parents
and they
don't
will.
Know. So if we can get them on the calendar as soon as possible,
right,
so that people can be preparing for those in advance.
So my daughter-in-law doesn't drop her kids off at the school and have to go back and pick them up.
And they go to the calendar and look, and oftentimes those extra five half-days aren't listed, and then it's...
They have always been listed by the time school started. However, there had been copies of
the calendar
out, and if they copied off one of the original ones, you are correct. They would not have had those.
So if we can get that on there as soon as
possible. And somehow some big... letters saying revised and use this one only.
I see the revised on the bottom, so
that's good. Yeah.
All right, I will ask for a motion to on action 2A on the revision of the FY13 calendar.
I'll make that motion that we approve that.
All right.
Amended.
Motion's made by Fred. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Ann. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Number two is action on first reading on changes to the Internet safety policy due to CIPA.
We were notified last Tuesday that by July 1st we must have a vote on revisions on our Internet safety policy in order to be eligible for federal funding reimbursement. If we did not have it in, we would not get the money for next year. And that's the E-rate, as we've talked about before. For some reason in that process, that was the first notice that I remember having that there was a deadline. So somehow in the communication over the last 18 months that it was supposedly there, we got the last one and found out that we needed to make sure we reviewed our policy, and our existing policy did not have the wording that they required to be in it, and it was almost a verbatim statement that needed to be in there. Our normal process of doing policy adoption and changes, we are making changes into the new format, and we go through three readings that take usually about two and a half months. We don't have that luxury due to the July 1 deadline. So what we have brought to you today is a change in the existing policy and the existing structure as a first reading. We will do second and third readings at our work session, which will be a vote, and then in the consent calendar on June 18th. So by the 18th, we will have gone through all three readings, which is a requirement of the board. But it is done on a somewhat unusual way. We did not have the time to be able to completely change what needed to happen in the rest of the policy. So what you're seeing is a change in the existing policy, existing format, adding what we need to in order to meet this requirement.
So Section 4, Roman numeral 4, is that the new section that you're talking about?
That is correct. On page 61 is the new additions.
Fred has an amendment to it.
I'd like to... instead of saying minors, parentheses, students will, let's say, either shall be or must be.
Rather than will.
Do you remember what the law required us to say?
Well, you know, I actually, in that wording, that's the liberty, but the law, or the statement is not written all that well. But it's the gist of it is we have to have. And
so it should be a shall.
So we can.
That's why they encouraged us actually in the documents we received to make this as broad as possible in policy and not deal with procedures at this level.
Good.
So as long as the policy shows that intent, we're fine.
So we if it is in the. an expectation that that occurred, and if will is not the correct word, then if we need
let's
to change
shall.
It to shall,
let's do shall,
then we change it to shall.
It's actually stronger than
will be.
So, Stacy, if you could make that, and whoever makes the motion, then would that change? Yes.
I put a link on our website to some documentation about internet safety. I've researched this. There is a lot of information out there. The board may even want to consider a work session at some point or a part of a work session talking about this whole arena. So the statistics and the things that are happening in that area are amazing. I came across this book today. It's a Parent's Guide to Facebook. It just is basically just that, how to teach your children how to use Facebook or be safe on Facebook. Yeah. So there's just a lot of things we've talked about.
Well, and one of my questions as we adopt this policy, you and I talked about possibly changing it so it's all electronic devices and kind of merge the cell phone, because all of their cell phones can be internet. Would the law allow us to call it an electronic device as we change, as we merge these two, or does it have to say computers, internet?
It does not have to say that. In fact, it refers to our internet safety policy. Historically, we've always had our acceptable use policy, mm-hmm. and that's been our internet safety policy. So we really, I guess, technically don't have what we call an internet safety policy. I think we can call it whatever we want to, as long as...
So if we call it internet safety and refer to with any electronic device so that it could be more global, because we know there are just going to be more and more devices.
Right. And that's something in the fall that we this is one of the ones we have to work on fairly quickly, because as we're doing this, we also have to meet the new state standards for technology services. So we will be talking a lot about technology
in the
fall.
And we need to come up with what are those terms that we're using. When I tried to rewrite it one time before, it was, okay, what terms? How can we write it so that next year it's no longer obsolete? Because that's what happens to us, is obsolescence is almost built into this area.
Probably the key to that will be policy and procedures and having a real delineation between the two.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually on my list of things to talk about tonight, was the internet, because Kira came home with that form to sign for Logan High, and on the back it states the policy, but when I read it I thought, it's just so
antiquated.
It is. And I just went, I didn't even really want to sign it, because I thought, I barely could make myself sign it, and she said, you have to sign it, Mom, because I have to turn it in tomorrow. So I would suggest that we have some dialogue about that, just because it is really pathetic at best.
It's an interesting thing, too. Yeah. It's a little bit like the calendar issue you raised. How many versions of that policy are out there floating around that aren't...
That a teacher gives out that might not be the official one.
But you're right. It's an issue we really do need to address.
Yeah, so... Hopefully we'll do that shortly.
We
need to make sure that the action is stated exactly as it is. We have to keep on file that we've utilized exactly the terminology as stated here. We have to keep it for 10 years. We are auditable for 10 years. In the minutes, it must show that, and must also show the changes that were made in the policy. So for the minutes this time, it will be very specific. So we have one place to go to. We have to keep it in a hard copy. We also have to keep it in an electronic copy.
All right. Would someone like to read the exact action from the agenda? And make a motion. I only have two board members left that can do that.
I would move action on the first reading with changes to the internet safety policy due to SIPA requirements, and that would include what was written and then the changes made by Member Dersh.
Correct.
All right. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Very nice. Seeing, I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
What happened to Jim?
Karen just showed up. We're not sure. Usually when board member spouses showed up, it's not a good thing. So I don't know if that's true or not. But
we still have a quorum.
We still have a quorum.
All right.
All right. We are now on to item G, discussion items, which is the update on negotiations. Superintendent.
And really, Kirk talked a lot. We are meeting together in the IBB process to go over the budgetary things now. We also within that have determined there are some things that all three groups will be discussing together. Then there are some individual things, but it's been a lot of early morning meetings. We've had a few late night meetings, but it's been a great opportunity for us to really get to the meat of some things, and we will be, you'll see that as we look at the budget in June. And the proposed budget process that I believe is on the 10th that we will be presenting to you, and then for vote on the 18th. We're hoping to make progress and be as close to completed as possible, as soon as possible.
It appears to be a more congenial atmosphere.
The IBB process allows for interest-based, allows for a much different level of dialogue. We're learning. We get into positions at times, and we have to have what are called process checks, and that just kind of brings us back to the focus. But great people who are working. We've got great employees that are working with us, and our district team here is amazing. They are so good to work with and have worked tirelessly, and Zane deserves a lot of credit because obviously as we start talking of finances, everybody looks over to Zane, and we've been very good about that, and it's been a good process.
I have a quick question about negotiations, and we talked a little bit about this last year. I don't know really necessarily if it's in negotiations, but we talked about having information out early about potential or possible insurance changes so that employees would have an idea of what's going to happen prior, maybe an idea of what's going to happen with insurance before school gets out. Is that something that we can possibly
right now
manage?
That's one of the areas that we are having with a 14% increase. We're doing a lot of questioning, and as we're doing AIBB, Zane has been working with the insurance committee, and they've been back and forth and doing some things. We're waiting for some information on from EMI Health. We will probably be able to give before next Thursday, at least this is the direction we're going in. But in terms of detail, we'll probably have to be looking at some mailers during the summertime before they come back in August.
I think as long as we just let the employees know that we're trying to keep them in the loop about as much as we know, as soon as we know it, rather than when.
A couple of emails already have gone out in terms of some of the things that are being discussed, getting their input. Some have seen that as they've read it as threats. And there was a good clarification by our incoming LEA president in terms of what was really there. They just hadn't fleshed out the communication that went out initially. So we're just keeping working on that communication and opportunities. We've got to have something in place, though, for this summer, at least to go home. I believe we're going to have to do some mailings that we've not done necessarily in the past, but I think will be necessary this year. Pardon?
Will we meet again Thursday?
We haven't determined yet if it's going to be Thursday or Friday, depending on what information we get from my house. So you and I need to talk in the morning.
Okay, thank you. We'll just appreciate you keeping our employees abreast about that. Would be helpful. All right, anything else on negotiations?
Yeah.
Any questions, board members, about negotiations at all?
Are you feeling like it's going positively?
It is. It's hard. In a year when there's money and you're talking about all the things you can do to add, those discussions are wonderful. But we're in a position where we still are having to do reductions. And how do you do that? We have some things this year that are different than we've had before in terms of state law. And we're taking advantage of some of that. But it does mean that we have to do business differently. And that's what we're trying to accomplish. So, it's been good. It's been hard. It's been a good learning experience for all of us. But we're doing it as a team, and that's the important part.
I think more understand more than they ever have.
Yeah.
last year.
You didn't answer my question.
I think it's going good.
Are we stuck?
No, we're not stuck.
Okay, so it's moving.
So ideas have come through. We've had part of it right now is in the health situation. We've asked for some changes potentially that EMI Health has got to determine whether or not is within their realm of doing. So a lot of this is, you know, they ask some things. We go back, we go to and find out. We have an answer. Sometimes it's thumbs up, sometimes it's thumbs down. And so we've got some contingencies. We're getting to the point, though, as Kirk was saying, where decisions are having to be made, and we will be getting those done here shortly. I mean, we are, at least on the financial part of it, there's still some language parts that will take a little bit longer, but we've come a long way in the 6 weeks that we've been meeting. We've been meeting consistently. It takes time.
No, I understand that.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the impasse.
No,
the process.
No. We're still looking at ideas, and we're getting close.
Okay. Now, one good thing, one thing I really feel good about the process is that, I mean, superintendent's kind of been mediating, and we've had representation from every association, 3 or 4 people, principals, teachers, classified employees. There's 20 people sitting around this table and dissecting options and going back and talking about it and bringing it back. And every time we meet, we update we've got this little budget matrix that we're using to show everyone where we stand. And it's a very open discussion, and anything is up for discussion, and we have very candid discussions, and they're positive. And to me, it's going to resolve the issues that drove the impasse in the past, because everyone knows what the money is, and once that's determined, they've got nothing to go to impasse about.
And part of our planning process is the communication out. How are we going to do that? How that will be done with everyone in multiple manners. And so we all have our talking points, and we can go back out and spread word and make sure that there's a consistency of communication. So that portion is not something that we've not done as well as we need to. And so this group is committed to doing that.
And the information is all the same. It's not
coming from multiple groups.
Right.
Hopefully, it's getting to the teachers and to the
staff. Well, a lot of what we've talked about here before has been keep it in the room, because
we're not in terms of the commitment to not say anything outside until we have everything finalized, and then we have the talking points ready, and then going out. And that's kind of the direction that we're going right now.
Going out.
Well, it will. When it gets to the point of going out, it will be, because that will be also part of the materials that we bring to you on June the 10th. Is that our next board meeting? It's a Tuesday.
No, but the 7th. That's the wrong month.
Right, June. It's a Tuesday. 8?
June 12th is this budget hearing.
No, we do June 12th work session and the June 18th.
We'll call it the
18th.
18th is actually the
yeah, we have the 12th, 18th, and the 25th.
Correct.
Okay.
The 12th, what'd you say again? Okay.
The 12th is a work session. Tuesday, the 12th is a work session.
Okay.
And then the Monday, the 18th, is our workshop for the day. And then in the evening, we come back and we change into full board members again and have a regular session, at which time we will have our budget adopted and approved.
Is there a board meeting? At 5 o'clock work session. Right?
What?
The 12th is the 5 o'clock.
Well, and that's, in terms of the time, we need to find out. In fact, we might as well do that right now. Because it's in the summertime, do we want to do that earlier in the day so that we're not messing up your night? Or are you in a position?
I bet these two would really like that. To not be here at 8:30 at night.
5 o'clock's earliest I can be here.
Because you're doing voting,
okay.
Right?
Okay. All right, so we'll continue with 5. That's fine. June 12th, 5 o'clock.
So what's on the 11th again?
There's nothing on the 11th.
12th and 18th. And the 18th is from 8 a.m. until 4. And then
6 o'clock.
And then at 6 o'clock, we will be back for a full board meeting.
And then we're off for the summer.
Until August. And we have...
We get our summer vacation.
Yes.
Nice. All right. Any other questions about calendaring items, at least for that?
And we will, when it gets to me, we'll go over the calendaring items to making sure that everyone has the right dates, times, and places for all the few activities that are happening in this next week.
And the right year.
A lot of confusion. I just need to get that.
Right.
We just had 2 different years listed for us. So.
All right. We're going to go to discussion items then. We did discussion items. Any more questions or comments about discussion or about negotiations? Okay. Seeing none, we're moving on to reports. So we'll start with Fred.
Well, I went to the award ceremony today. Very interesting. Nearly $400,000 from Utah State University by itself.
Yeah, that sounds
amazing.
Scholarships, yeah.
And I counted it up. There were about 24 full-ride presidential-style scholarships.
Wow.
At Logan High alone, about 24. That's amazing. You can hardly believe it. But, I just make that comment. Other than that, I don't have anything.
Thanks, Fred. Ann?
I apologize for not being at everything lately with my husband's health problems, but I think we have a light at the end of the tunnel, finally. I enjoyed last night's retirement open house. That was just very nice. And
the accolades need to go to Stacy.
Yes,
she
Stacey,
put on an
good job. It was a lovely night. I think everyone who is retiring felt appreciated, and I just think it's a really good thing that we do for our people, and I appreciated that. And also, so that you know, the Joint Legislative Committee, and I don't know if you have this down, Zane, or if you've been invited, Zane or Marshall, June 15th, we are meeting. Just our committee is meeting, so we're going to do that on the 15th.
Is that the whole Legislative Committee?
The Joint Legislative Committee. Just those of us who were on the committee will be meeting then.
You're being added to that, right?
I'm on the Legislative Committee. Is that my meeting now?
I guess if you're on that committee.
I was an alternate last year.
Okay. Are we both on it?
All I know is I saw my name on it.
Okay. They haven't told me I'm not on it.
No, you're on it.
No, you're on it, but it was her as a board of directors.
You're still on it.
Okay. Well, that is on the 15th of June.
When and where?
It is noon at the USBA offices. That's coming up.
Okay.
So, and then, of course, we have all of our wonderful things happening. I wish that INTEC didn't have its graduation the same time as Logan High graduation, because they're doing theirs in the Eccles Conference Center the same time we do it at the Kent Concert Hall. So I will not be going to INTEC's graduation.
You have down that... No,
6:30.
Ours is at 3. Our graduation is at 3
o'clock. Logan High School?
Logan High School is at 3 p.m.
Did not know that.
That's why we wanted to make sure we went through.
We need to go through all of it.
And yeah,
so
we will.
Did it change to 3 p.m.?
It was always 3 p.m., but I didn't know that until...
Right. Okay.
Be there at 2:45 ready to be seated.
Okay, that's a very different thing.
Yes, so no, there won't be.
Okay, great. That's all I have.
Jim? Thanks, Ann. Thanks, Fred. Sorry. I didn't mean to ignore you, Fred.
You didn't ignore me.
Oh.
Let's see. We had the big orchestra concerts. I don't know if I reported on that. That was wonderful. Long, but wonderful.
Jim had grandchildren in both sets.
I spent the evening there, but it was... I'm just amazed how much they do in... with those kids. They perform beautifully. So I was very impressed with that. I went to the Spring Sing at the Wilson School, which was the finale for Karen. And that was well attended by parents. And a lot of people recognized her for the service she's given there. Then we had Dancing with the Stars, which was incredible to watch our administrators and teachers dance with those ballroom dancers. And I think we had a phenomenal turnout. We had a lot of people there, so they must have made quite a bit of money on that.
Well over 800 people.
That's great.
And then the retirement meeting yesterday, which was very nice. Again, I thought Stacy did a great job. The corsages were beautiful. Mm-hmm. And my wife felt honored, so that was good. And that's all I have to report.
Thanks, Jim. I'm going to report on the Foundation Breakfast. Business Partner Breakfast was this month, and I apologize to you. Shanna said she didn't get your invitations to you, and she sent me an email the night before saying, please invite the school board members, but by the time I got the email, it was like 1:30 in the morning, so I need to make sure that she extends that invitation so that you guys have that. I didn't even know it was the... I found out the day before, so it was kind of a... Anyway, so I apologize for that. It was very nice breakfast, and we honored City of Logan as being our business partner of the year.
Okay.
So Randy Watts was there to accept that award, and it was a very nice honor for them and really fun, and I appreciated being there. I went to USBA meeting this month, and once again, I would like to have us work on our master boards assignment and getting that award, not award, but those things accomplished so that we can become master boards, and perhaps that might be something we can work on a little bit on our June meeting. I too went to Dancing with the Stars.
Can we put that on canvas?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Probably.
It's on the USBA website. You can go on there and do like...
If we put it on canvas as one of our assignments, maybe that would help us with a little reminder once in a while from...
Yeah. And some practice on that.
That's a good idea. All right, I went to Dancing with the Stars, went to the dinner at the Lobb's house before, which was extremely overwhelming.
It was unbelievable.
It was unbelievable. That's all I can say. It was amazing.
I just wish I had the baseball collection.
Yes, the baseball collection.
No, I don't. I wish I had the money that the baseball collection would represent.
They were very, very generous. The Lobs have been very generous to us, and to open up their house to us was very, very special.
And let you freely wander wherever you wanted to was just, it was incredible. So
we have a couple of amazing families who have really
They're so generous
it's
for us.
It's great to have a foundation that provides the vehicle for them to give.
And the food was really delicious. It was catered by Peggy Chance, and she did a very good job with that. And it was very well attended. I think Shanna said they had about 110 people there at the dinner. So it was a very, very fun evening. And, of course, Dancing with the Stars event was very nice. I talked to Shanna a little bit. I'm not sure if the revenue is going to be quite as high as we had anticipated, but for our first kickoff event, I think that in the future it has great potential, and it was a good way to get the ball rolling. And
everyone had fun.
Everyone had a great time, and it was fun. And all of the teachers and the administrators did such a good job dancing. It was just very impressive. I thought it was nice to be able to unite community, you know, to be able to bring us all together and have something fun to do. And it just was a great evening. Going tomorrow to the Breakfast of Champions at the middle school, which is at 7:30 in the morning. If any of you want to attend that, I'm sure they'd be more than happy.
We see an invitation to that one. So
we've got it written down at 7 a.m.
I think it's 7:30.
I have 7 a.m. as well.
You have 7 a.m.?
Oops, I'm sorry. That's 7 p.m. tomorrow. I will start. It is 7:30. 7:30 to 8:30.
Yeah, 7:30 to 8:30.
Are we all invited to that?
Yes, everyone who would like to come is invited.
I'm going because I got invited specifically for Kira, so I'm excited for that. And, of course, went to the retirement party. Stacy did a great job. That was very fun. It was kind of a tearjerker. Some of our really
long-time
teachers and staff members retiring, I felt really sad that, you know, a core of our long-timers are retired.
They're not sad.
They're not sad. I was sad. I saw Karen and just started bawling. So, anyway, I think I cried more than she did. But that's all I have.
Okay, get your calendars out. Let's go through this first, and then I'll go over a few other things. We do have tomorrow morning, as we said, is the Breakfast of Champions. If you are interested, I can go over some individual school things that are planned, or if I can just go over the major middle school and high school things.
Well, and the fun choice. What time that one is.
And that'll be Thursday. But let's on Wednesday night, tomorrow night, is the Mountain Logan Middle School Honors night at 7 o'clock in their auditorium. It's also the Logan High School Oscars night in their auditorium, same time. So you have a choice of events. On Thursday, get your tenny runners on. We're having our fun run. It should be a lot of fun. We'll be at Adams Elementary School again at 9:30. If you come, we'll give you a shirt, and we'll also put you to work. So, but we'll do it nicely. But we're excited. The kids are excited. All the schools have been practicing and working at getting everything ready for that.
And Kelly's prepared with.
Yes. Well, it's, again, we think at Adams it's supposed to be a fairly cool day, and hopefully no rain. The rain's supposed to happen tomorrow. That same day is the Mount Logan Middle School Mountain Man Biathlon that they are doing. It starts at the Aquatic Center at 8:45, and will run until 3 o'clock, and that's for a group of students that have signed up for that, so it should be kind of exciting. That night is the L Banquet at Riverwoods at 6:30. If you're going to go to that, I think you need to let Stacy know so that we can be making sure that we have reservations on that. So if you will let Stacy know if you're going to be there.
Right now?
You can let her know right now.
I'm going, Stacy.
Yes, and is anybody with spouses, or are you just by yourself?
I was going by myself.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I'll be going by myself.
So we'll just need to check with Lynn if he's going to be able to go or not.
I'll text Alan and ask that.
That's also the Adams Heritage Festival that night as well. If you can slip by there before or after.
Right. Their heritage. And also the Mount Logan Middle School Choir Concert is at 7:30 that night. Just a few activities. Then we don't have anything on Friday. Surprise, surprise. However, let's go to your Tuesday. Tuesday is a very busy day. We will have graduation at South Campus at the Eccles Center at 11 o'clock. We'd like you there by 10:45.
That's the same place as last year?
Yes. The conference center. That night at 6 o'clock, also at the Eccles Conference Center, will be the adult education graduation. So your presence there would be appreciated if you can make it.
It's not here?
No. We found it was just too, we needed something a little bit larger.
And nicer.
Yeah. So they have chosen to do that. That night there is also the 5th grade Ellis at 6 p.m. at the same time as the graduation is the Ellis 5th grade honors night where they do all of theirs. And then that night at 8:30 is candlelight at Logan High School. So we would love for everyone to be able to be there.
That would be a fun article sometimes, the 100 years that they've done candlelight at Logan High. Visually, it's so pretty for
it is. It is
great for pictures. All those kids with their candles, all the wax,
jerking all over their gowns.
Yes.
In each other's arms.
In each other's
arms. Okay. Then on Wednesday, the only school in our district that still does a maypole is doing their maypole presentation at Adams at noon. At least that's the time we think it is. It's still. We're having to tie Jed down, and it was around noon, and we're saying, what exact time is it? So we'll get back to you on the specifics on that. But we know that is. And the graduation is at 3 o'clock at the Spectrum.
And what made them change to that time?
It wasn't their time. That was the time they were told. They do a rotation.
Okay.
And
so
we've had the 7 p.m. one now for 2 years, and it was our turn to rotate.
Okay.
so that another school had the evening. So that we didn't have any choice in that.
That's the very first time we've done that.
That is correct.
And I'm giving no on Lynn for the L banquet.
Okay. Because of prior...
Because her husband runs his
right.
schedule.
Mm-hmm. So we need to be at 2:45 down below so that we can be seated by 2:45. So parking will be available on that the east side. That's actually the closest parking. They're right behind the education building. I think it's a black parking lot.
Can we actually get in there at 3:00 during the day?
Well, they have no school going on, so I think that we'll be okay.
Well, USU getting a parking place anytime is.
And then we have NTEC graduation then at 6:30.
You also park across to the north in that large parking lot, right, free of charge?
Yes, it's just a little bit longer of a walk, a little more difficult of a walk. Our last day of school, minimum day, is on the 31st. So if you want to be in schools and just kind of see what's happening, they're having lots of different carnivals and lots of craziness going on. And if you would like to, you're more than welcome to be there. And then that evening at 7:00 is Fast Forward's graduation in the Kent Concert Hall. At 7
by the way, Logan High School has their year-end luncheon also on the 31st.
They will have, yes. That one normally we've not been invited to. So contract-wise, everyone is done on the 31st. My daughter is due for her first baby on the 30th. I plan on being at graduation, but Cambry may take precedence, so I will do what I can to be
year.
There.
It's an
yes, it is, because my Emily was due last year on that.
Well, so
she can, yes, and...
Year
before last. Yeah, 2 years ago was Jim's grandson. So,
Ian.
So those are the dates that I know of. Did I miss anything, Stacy? Okay. So hopefully that will help. Again, just a couple of reminders of some activities. Shane is coming. Shane Ogden will be here on Tuesday. He has an opportunity to come. And he's going to be meeting with the faculty in the afternoon and meeting with some different groups during the afternoon time. I think by the time he gets here, it'll be around noon or 1:00. But he specifically wanted the opportunity of spending some time with his faculty, which I think is a great idea as before the end of the year. So we'll be welcoming him. He will be back here on the 6th for some training that we will be having. And then we're working with him on some time in June prior to the July 1st start, because he'll be finishing up in Wyoming, and we're trying to get him as quickly as we can down here because there's lots to do before the beginning of the year. I think that
he's
is about it.
With all those freshmen and
yes, and he's already starting working on that process and getting the information. He is planning on doing that for this next fall in the summertime with help. He will be recruiting some help in doing that. So I think that is it on my end.
I'm sorry, Zane, I skipped right over you. Zane, do you have anything for us tonight?
Well, the board financial report is out there. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at it. As far as year-to-date totals and expenditures, they're pretty much in line with what we need them to be. There are a few individual line items I've got to check into, but as far as the bottom line, I think it's okay. If you go out to the board portal, I put a couple of things out there that you might be interested in. If you go under the FY12 budget, so it's the very top line there in the portal, I updated the capital requests list that you guys looked at our last meeting, put it in a different format that may make a little more sense to you, and clarified some things.
Really tiny.
Yeah, you have to blow it up.
How do you get to dog?
Can you
please
go? You can't touch his. You don't think it's going to work.
Oh,
look right there.
I was down on the capital request.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
You know you've converted when you touch a PC.
screen.
That one right there.
All right, we got it.
So I updated that and I've reformatted that. The yellow you can see is highlighted. Those are the issues that we see as most important. And then we've got some other ASIP things. I've got things basically organized. Down at the bottom, you can see what the totals come to if we do it all. We'd like to take care of at least number ones and number twos and number threes as we can get to them. I don't see any real major high-dollar things. We've got the roof project that's just a continuation from last year. That's the big one, $200,000. Aside from that, it does add up that if we did it all, you're looking at about $850,000. We don't plan to do it all, but we do want to take care of the painting. We do want to take care of the carpet, and we do want to take care of the roof and some things like that. I'd really love to take care of these homes.
We know that.
We'll discuss things later.
You got my permission.
There's another one that I've been curious for a while, given our demographics, as to we have 823 kids that go to charter schools. So I've been curious to know what the demographics of those charters is as compared to our demographics. So if you go back into the portal and the bottom thing you see on there, it says October 1, 2011-12 ethnic diversity breakdown. If you click on that, you want to again blow that up so you can see it. So this is based on our October 1st counts. And the way the state tracks diversity, you've got African American or black, American Indian, Asian, Hispanic, Latino, Pacific Islander, and then multi-race, and then white. And there, the top two lines, are you there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you look at Logan School District, we know we're at about 35%, 33% ethnic diversity, 25% Hispanic, 67% white. If you compare us with Cache District, they're 89% white, 8% Hispanic, 11% ethnic diversity. And then if you go down below, I've plugged in what's yellow you see there. I put, those are the charters, those are the charter schools where our kids are going and their respective enrollment and breakdown. And we have 823 kids going, so you can see by charter where our kids are. And then I plugged in the ethnic diversity of those charters, and it's interesting that the charter ethnic diversity pretty much mirrors the county.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was really quite interesting.
Do we not have anybody at Thomas Edison South?
No, they combine.
Their numbers are combined.
At it, they
just put
it in
north
one
and it,
school,
okay.
And they put it under the north.
I was just surprised that there was just north, not north and south.
So the blue is basically the breakdown in the totals for all charter schools combined in the state. And I've only given you the ones that our kids are going to.
Mm-hmm.
And then the pink line is what the district breakdown is in the state, and then the bottom line is how the totals line up. So you can see statewide there's 5% more ethnic diversity in school districts than there is in the charter schools. But we have a great contrast in Logan School District, and it's interesting that the kids that we have going to charters are migrating to charters that have an even greater contrast in ethnic diversity.
8%.
We have three times as many as the charters that these kids are going to. Read into it what you want. I just thought it was interesting.
And how many did you say go to charters?
823.
From our district?
From our district. That's what that...
That have addresses.
See, that says LCSD charter enrolled. Yeah. Those are kids that could be coming here that are there.
And they may never have come here, such as the Edith Bowen kids who just go there from the start.
Correct.
Some of those kids. Okay.
Most of those.
And we have some that we don't even... That are not within the valley, but if their primary address is in Logan, that's where we get charged against. So there's a couple of academies, high school academies, et cetera, that are not ours.
The Maria Montessori Academy.
Right. So when Senator Stevenson was here last 2 weeks ago, you were there, weren't you?
Fred? Yes, I was.
I was in meetings with him all day today. He did his Utah Taxpayers Now conference, but he was quite impressed. I mean, he told me after today, he says, you know, I've never seen anything like that. And that was a wow. I mean,
these numbers?
He was very, no, I'm not talking about this. As far as what he saw,
we took
the
him
day
to Logan High School,
here.
Showed him Curtis Jensen's class working on in writing. That's totally based on Canvas and it's totally electronic. We then took him in and spent some time with
science teacher. What was that?
Drew
Nelson, and who's working and what he's doing and able to do in chemistry and in physics. We then went over to Bridger Elementary School to show him what technology is in our elementary schools and what we have, and we specifically focused in on fifth grade. Took him to our amazing teachers that are there. The two teachers. First to show them the 33 kids that are in each of their classes and what they're doing with Singapore math. And then he asked, we only asked for 2 hours, he asked for a third hour to stay with us and talk at Bridger. So we had him for 3 hours.
Uh-huh. And one of the things, we talked a little bit about the charter school thing and the difference in the... I brought up the issue of the ethnic diversity.
For the three of you, and Senator Stevenson is one who's always saying we should use more technology.
Anyway, he actually brought up in that meeting that he says maybe you should consider a dual immersion thing to maybe attract some of these kids back. And I really believe that the only way we are... going to get some of them back just to offer programs. I don't know that we will get these 823, but we may get some others.
A couple hundred, maybe.
I thought it was a good suggestion. And something you could be thinking about, and we'll talk about it, I guess, superintendents. First I've heard about the dual immersion thing, but your designated reserve that only you guys can spend, something like that is why that's there, if you wanted to do it.
Okay, Madam President.
Oh. I was absorbed.
Madam Vice President.
I was absorbed in what Zane was saying. All right. Anything else from anybody else tonight? Questions, comments, concerns? All right. Then I will adjourn this board meeting tonight at 9:03.
Okay.
Period. I was waiting until I clicked on.
And are you Tony?